The United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Jim Baker resigned.
Well, so- Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on Monday, the 8th of July, 2013. I hope you're having a good day today. Hope you had a great weekend. What beautiful weather. Yes, it was a little rainy off and on, but, it's summertime. And I don't know about you, but when I see that I get some rain out there, that means people don't have to water the grass and the gardens and water all that. So we need a little water during the day, and then it dries up really quick. Mm-hmm. Rain a couple nights, which is really, really cool, because we like rain at night.
Corn loves rain at night.
See, rain at night works well. And so we did that, and we are good to go, I think. Don't you?
Mm-hmm. Did you have a good Independence Day weekend?
I work Friday. I don't know about you. We were working Friday. Me and Jeff were sitting here talking our heads away, even though the transmitter blew up and all that kind of stuff, and I couldn't fix the buttons on the machine. That's why I'm up a little bit late today, because they're trying to help me fix the machine, because I don't know where the buttons go.
Well, I drove to Chicago and back Friday.
Because you're nuts. Nutty, nutty, nutty. Nutty, 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 nutty. Okay, you're nutty.
Went and picked up that new CNG van.
Oh, you like the van?
Oh, I love it. I just got the plate switched this morning.
Now, how does that van work for you as driving it?
I trailered it. I trailered it.
You chicken little.
That's right. I never buy anything on eBay and drive it home.
You are a chicken. Chicken,
right.
chicken. Jeez,
right.
Old man. You're supposed to drive it home.
No, we didn't. For one thing, it's only got like a 200-mile range, and I wasn't sure where I'd find it.
200 miles?
Yeah, CNG.
I know.
I'm going to throw another tank in it, though, so we should get it up to about 400 miles. I'll throw another tank in it.
So you bought a CNG tank that only has 400 miles. It's not dual.
No, just it's straight compressed natural gas.
So you drove it today?
Yeah, sitting out there.
Oh, you drove it today? Yeah. Rick, you're making a lot of noise. You know I beat people up. one of our engineers here at the station is trying to help me get my buttons right, and he's screaming because I'm like an everyday woman. I got stuff everywhere, and he's trying to get things done, and he doesn't know. He's like, will you just move these things out the way? But you don't understand, Rick. It makes me function.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, Sticks, have you been watching the Zimmerman trial?
Not really.
You know this kid's going to get off.
Well, when they charged him with murder, too, I knew he was going to get off.
Because the elements aren't all met.
Yeah, if they really wanted to convict him, they should have charged him with manslaughter.
Absolutely. They had what they call a lesser included offense.
Yeah.
They didn't do that.
Nope.
And the way things are going, I'm concerned about
walk.
That. Hey, you know what? Today's my open mic. You know that?
Yep.
I've got a guy calling in. He's a conservative out of Colorado. It's called African American Conservative. I found him on Facebook.
Cool.
And he's going to come in around calling about one. He wanted to know what kind of format we had. I said, we got a wacky format. We just do what we do and just jump in like double dutch.
You know, when we were driving to Chicago this weekend, I had a thought. Remember when they were shoving 55 mile an hour down our throats?
It was going to save gas.
And save lives.
Oh, okay.
So why did we just change all the speed limits in Ohio back to 70?
You leave my governor alone.
I mean, I'm perfectly happy with that. Don't get me wrong.
If the governor wants me to go 70 miles an hour, you just let the governor have his way.
Could it possibly be that with the fuel economy getting better on the cars, that we're going to have to figure out how to get more tax revenue so we just increase the speed limit so people burn more gas?
Sticks, I don't care.
I don't either. I'll pay for the gas.
Listen. If it'll save me a couple hundred dollars in tickets to getting to my destination, let me drive 70.
It's true.
I want to get there.
I never wanted to drive much over 70, even when it was 55.
I don't like 50. I don't like 55. 55 was not. It did not flow as well when you have as many cars on the road.
Right.
And people would pile up on people, and it was not a good way of getting somewhere. Whereas 70. And gives you some leeway from 70 to 75 to 80. It gives you a little cushion to get out the way.
Right.
because I hate when cars are stacked on top of me and in the way.
Well, you always get this self-righteous guy running the speed limit in the left-hand lane. He won't get over.
But I tell you what happened to me over the weekend. I had a friend come in and visit from Michigan, and she had won a car, a 2013 Lincoln MKX. And so she drove it here to visit.
Did she get the income tax bill for it yet?
What income tax bill? She just got she won it for the weekend.
Oh, she won it for the rental.
Weekend win. Well, I don't care how they did it. She got it for the weekend. She drove to Ohio and she let me drive it.
Ooh.
Let me tell you about Big Brother first.
Yeah.
Big Brother is extremely scary. The 2013's completely fully automated cars are really scary. But talk about a nice ride. And I'm not a Ford girl, but I think Ford got the interior right. Now, their cars look wacky on the outside, but inside, it was good.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. I have no complaints. Are you having a hard time getting in yet still?
Yeah, for some reason I can't do chat room.
You know what? Internet Explorer and see if that works. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It is open mic today. If you are looking to lodge your pet, please go out and see Pet Lodge USA of Boardman. Go in there and tell them you heard it on Tracy and Friends and say, hey, Tracy said, if I bring my dog, you'll take care of it well. It is the truth. It's right next to Eaton Park Plaza across from Ethan Allen. And if you want to call them, you can at 330-726-2222. But I will say this. Pet Lodge USA is a hotel for pets. And your dogs enjoy your pets. They take cats and dogs. But your dogs and your pets and your babies, they enjoy being there.
Kind of weird. I can say this because it's not competition. My daughter found somebody to dog sit the beagle.
Yeah.
They even sent her videos.
Oh yeah.
Of them walking the dog.
You can. Hey.
And this dog sitter even took she was just supposed to come over and walk the dog and take care of it and then leave it at the house. And it was supposed to because of the fireworks 4th of July. She took the dog home with her because she was afraid the dog might be afraid.
Yeah.
So
fireworks are not kind of dogs.
No. Especially not hyperactive beagles.
No. Beagles are like Jack Russells. You know, they don't do well with those. It was really nice, but I was having fun. The car starts on its own. It goes down the street. It tells me when I'm outside the lines. It was really kind of weird. The only problem that I had was with the navigation, and they got this crazy gas pump now. I'm trying to hold out and before I get into any crazy topics yet, because I got one.
Okay.
I'm trying to woosaw.
Well, I bought this new GPS, and
we got GPS on Paula's phone.
Yeah, but it doesn't do RV. This one won't send me any place that my RV won't go. So, anyways, it's got one very annoying habit, and I have to figure out how to shut it off. Every time you go more than 5 miles an hour over the speed limit, it says speed warning.
Well, I just got done telling you.
And my wife's not supposed to know when I'm speeding.
I just got done telling you. You know, it's Big Brother's watching. And I told my mom, I said, what I think is going to happen pretty soon is they're going to make it to your insurance is tied to your car. Because if you look at Progressive Insurance commercials, they'll tell you that they want you to put a little chip in your car. And if you're a safe driver,
Nationwide has that too.
And they'll give you a discount.
Yeah.
So if Nationwide and Progressive both do this and they know how you're driving, what to say in these new automated cars that they do not know how you're driving?
Well, I do know that a friend of a friend of mine has a Corvette, and he was driving across Texas, and it shut off on him, and he called into OnStar, and the car automatically shuts off at 180 mile an hour.
Huh?
Well, and OnStar has to reset it. I got a problem with that.
I'm telling y'all that we are in so much trouble.
Mm-hmm.
We are giving the government too much power. And I don't think we understand just how powerful technology is. I don't think we get it.
But it's all for safety and security, Tracy.
I know. But there's not that much safe and secure it's just bad. This is a bad way to be, and I don't think we quite understand how bad it is for us to know we shouldn't do this.
Just one more chain will set you free.
No.
Yeah.
No. This is bad. So how was your drive?
Good. We had a good time. Like Amy was in this weekend. She went. Her and her fiance went in Friday to get their wedding license. So I got to pick that up next week because Mahoning County makes you wait 5 days. So I got to go pick up their marriage license for them. And then they drove to Parkersburg.
Speaking of which, I went to some state national parks here in the state of Ohio.
Yeah,
they're nice.
Yes, they are.
Got
some wonderful state parks.
Went to Putnamburg or
Pudding Bay?
No, I went to Geneva on the Lake.
Okay,
for the first time, I've never been there. I had never been to Geneva on the Lake. What a nice area.
Yep.
Beautiful Lake Erie. Great town.
I'll tell you something that goes on in Ohio that they've been doing for a long time, and I just found out about it last year. Up at Conneaut.
Yeah.
Every summer, I think it's like the third weekend in August or something like that, second weekend in August, they do a D-Day reenactment. And they actually storm the beach. They've got landing craft and
no.
Yeah. It's a 3-day event. They actually have reenactors like Civil War reenactors. They got World War II reenactors. And they've got a German camp, and they've got a British camp, and an American camp, and a Free French camp. It is really something to see.
Well, I have to say, the state parks, and they're free. I mean, you can take your family out there outside of your transportation and getting there. They're really, really nice. And it's not real costly.
No.
And I can't think of his name. I've got to look it up. But it was a very, very nice park, and we had brunch there. And it was inexpensive for brunch. It was all you can eat. We saw someone get married out there, and the backdrop was Lake Erie. And it was really, really pretty. And I don't know if we really understand that we have more things accessible to us than we actually know. Because they don't advertise everywhere.
No, Ohio has an awful lot of stuff locally, and we all get in the car and drive so far, and there's so much here.
It was called Punderson State Park.
Okay.
And they have a lodge and a camp conference center there in the back of the park. And I've really never paid attention to going to the state parks, but they're nice.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, I know this. Well, you have to realize people don't know.
Well, no. I mean, if you're not a camping type person,
but you don't have to camp. You can.
Well, I know that. There's a lot of things to do during the day. When I was a kid, we lived close to Atwood Lake, and my mom and my aunts would take all of us kids and just go to the beach for the day. You know, there's a lot of these parks that are close enough. You just load up the family in the morning, take a cooler and some sandwiches, and just take your kids to the beach.
Yeah, I guess so. But a lot of people don't like outside anymore. They want to stay in the air conditioner. Or they don't like the going into live water. I don't know.
They don't like to swim with fish poop.
And algae. That's true. A lot of people don't like it. But I was very, very impressed with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they've hidden so much from so many people. And so, hey, the number is 347. I'm trying to do a woo-saw before I go completely nuts. George Zimmerman. I gotta talk about that. I want you to jump in and have this conversation. I know Jeffy and I are gonna totally disagree because no matter how guilty you think this guy is, I think he's not. I think he's gonna walk out the door.
Well, the thing is, there's so much misinformation running around. I mean, we really don't.
What misinformation?
Well, I heard a guy call into another radio program today, and he was talking about another radio host saying there's no way you could unholster that gun chamber around and take the safety off if somebody was on top of you beating up on you. Well, the problem is it was a Glock, so the safety's built into the trigger. And two, I carry an automatic pistol, and there's always a round in the chamber.
But that really has nothing to do with it. The elements of the crime, I don't think they're going to be able to prove that he did it.
Well, you got to improve intent with malice.
Right, and I don't see that happening. I don't see them proving that just yet.
No, there's no.
There's a problem there, and there's no lesser included charge, and so I don't think they're going to be able to prove that. But that's just me. I got to talk about Bill Cosby today, and I want to talk about people are upset because he's criticizing African Americans again, and so I want to talk about that. Want to we'll talk a little bit about what's going on over in Egypt. 51 people died over the week. Yeah? They're having a bloodbath over there. There's unrest. And hopefully our gas prices don't go up. Planes are falling out of the sky.
That was pilot error. I saw that.
I don't care if it was pilot error or engine error. Planes that come out the sky going backwards is not a good thing. Planes are not supposed to come out the sky. Planes are supposed to fly and then come down.
Yeah, but it's still safer than driving.
Not the point. Client number nine, former Governor Elliot Spitzer, who resigned after a prostitution scandal, to jump in the race for city controller. So he's gonna
how come it is when Republicans get caught doing stuff like that, they just disappear in a night and Democrats keep resurfacing?
Mm.
You ever notice that? What was that guy's name, Larry Craig?
Yeah, the one who played footsies in the airport?
Yeah, in the airport bathroom, yeah. You ain't heard a word out of him.
No.
And you never will.
Maybe you don't understand.
What don't I understand?
You don't understand.
It's different when you're a Democrat.
Is it a Democrat or is it how the media portrays it? I mean, you have to realize the media doesn't always, they're very, very disingenuous in how they handle things.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
These journalists are all even-handed.
Yeah. Tropical storm, Chantel, aims for the Caribbean. So I guess we're going into a major hurricane season again.
It's that time of year.
And the headline said, here we go again. Not again.
Actually, I heard a guy on the way out to Chicago was talking on the radio about this global warming thing. And according to him, we've actually been having less storms and less severe storms. It's just that the media is broadcasting them more. If you look at the last 100 years.
Yeah.
We're actually having fewer storms and fewer severe storms than the early part of the 20th century.
I'm reading something and it says why prostitutes aren't enough to deprive the world of Elliot Spitzer. Jeez, oh man, it's amazing. Now,
if he would have been the governor of Nevada, would there have been a scandal?
Don't know. But now, if he was a black Democrat, he wouldn't be able to bounce back. I don't know. No. The only one that bounced back was Marion Barry.
Yeah.
But usually you don't get to bounce back.
Do you think Marion Barry could have bounced back any place other than in D.C., though?
I know. Maybe. I don't know, because Jim Trafficant, he bounces back every so often.
Yeah, but you said African-American.
Jim Trafficant's black. I thought you knew.
I didn't know that.
Absolutely.
Oh. Learn something new every day.
Yeah. Jim Trafficant's black.
Okay.
Him, Bill Clinton, and the missing one. Yeah, they're black.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. You learn something new every day.
Very good. Hey, Diva, how are you, honey?
Hello.
Hi, how are you, darling?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad you called in the other day. People have missed you. Now, if we can find Stanley, we'll be in business.
Why people have missed me? I didn't think any of your callers liked me.
Well, it's not about liking you. It's about, you know, we miss you. We miss your energy, you getting on my nerves and being completely crazy. But you are, I mean, seriously. I mean, just because you're a left-wing wackadoodle doesn't mean that we don't love you.
I know. I love you, even though you're still a right-wing nut.
And don't feel, listen, Steve will be very, very happy that you've called in. Because he calls in every couple of days and asks, where is Diva?
Where is South Carolina?
He's probably out trying to fix that cheap Bluetooth.
I owe him an apology.
Why? What did you do?
He made a comment on my Facebook post, and I said something that was not so nice in one of my comments, so I want to apologize to him.
You're not supposed to do that.
Well, he got on my nerves.
How?
South Carolina being South Carolina. He got on my nerves at that point.
That's what you and Jeff and South Carolina all get into, that crazy, you know, posting. Sticks, you're one of them, too. Get on that crazy posting and trying to make your point. I keep on telling y'all can't fix stupid.
Are you calling South Carolina stupid and saying I can't fix them?
No, I'm not calling South Carolina stupid. I'm just saying you can't fix stupid. We're trying to help people, and you liberals won't listen.
Well, me and Jeff Green are not friends on Facebook anymore.
Why?
He blocked me.
Why did Jeff block you? What did you do to Jeff?
Keep trying to continue with my point, and I guess he can't handle that, so Jeff Green blocked me.
No.
I don't care. He's getting on my nerves, too.
How you been feeling?
Me?
Yeah.
Good.
Okay.
Just continuing with therapy and...
Okay, just making sure. We're glad to have you in here.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think Zimmerman's going to walk?
No.
Why?
Don't think he's going to walk because he killed an unarmed teen who misjudged.
No, 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 no. I didn't ask you what you thought. I asked, did you think he was going to walk based upon what... See, I have a problem with what the prosecution charged him with.
Well, you have to look at the actual charges and read the actual charge as to... You guys are only looking at the charge of second-degree murder, but when a jury when a jury gets back to deliberate, they have to look at the actual charge, which is why they charged him with second-degree murder. They charged him with second-degree murder, and second-degree murder is usually charged when a person is committing a crime and they take the life of another person in committing that crime. The state is alleging that George Zimmerman pulled out his weapon and pointed it, aimed it at Trayvon Martin, which in Florida is a felony. In the process of him pulling out that weapon and aiming it at Trayvon Martin, he shot and killed Trayvon Martin, which showed a depraved indifference to Trayvon Martin's life. How, now it's up to the defense to say why he did such a thing. So then the jury has to go back and deliberate, okay, well, whose side do I believe? Do I believe that what the state's saying is true, because you can't deny that he pulled out his gun and shot and killed Trayvon? But do I believe George Zimmerman's statement in saying that he did so in self-defense? And that's when they'll get to deliberating based on the evidence.
I'm telling you now, they are going to have a hard time proving all the elements of a second-degree murder, and they should have charged him with second-degree murder with lesser-included offenses so they could go down the line and get him with manslaughter.
Well, the jury can always come back.
They can come back hung. They can't come back.
No,
they can't come back with manslaughter.
Yes, the jury can come back and ask the judge if they can
convict on
a lesser charge.
No, because he didn't get charged with a lesser charge.
They can't change the game in the middle of the thing, Diva.
Yeah, they can. The state because in the Casey Anthony charge, in the Casey Anthony case, they only at first charged her with first degree murder. Later in that trial, they charged her with manslaughter, aggravated assault, child endangerment, child abuse, and neglect.
And what did she? And
they
what
came
did
back
she get,
later and added those.
Hold on, and what did she get convicted of?
She got convicted of none of that.
See where I'm going? They charged him with that not during the trial. You can't add charges during the trial.
Yeah, you can.
No, you can't.
Yes, you can. They've done it in Florida. You can.
That's
and
bad.
And the jury has the right to come back and say, well, we don't think this is second degree, but we do believe that this may have been manslaughter or aggravated assault. They can ask the judge if they can convict on a lesser charge. And a judge, more likely, instead of wanting a hung jury, if she feels that it was manslaughter, she can agree. Or she can instruct them before they go back that they can come back with a lesser charge.
So do you like the judge in this case?
I love Judge Nelson. I love Judge Nelson. Judge Nelson is a no-nonsense judge, and I don't like her just because I believe Zimmerman is guilty and she's very strict when it comes to her court case. She's been in other cases. And just reading over her record and everything, and I think that she's doing what needs to be done.
So now if this man gets off, how are you going to feel?
The same way I felt about the Casey Anthony trial. Very, very upset.
Don't be upset. Listen, I got to take a break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I got to come back and talk about Bill Cosby. I don't know why they keep on messing with this man when he tells the truth.
You can't tell it. You can't handle the truth.
I'm not supposed to tell the truth in America today?
No.
Diva, stay on the line because I want to hear your thoughts on this because I think you agree with me, but you may not because, you know, you're a liberal wackadoodle. Five four oh. Before I go to break, what's on your Hey.
Well,
yeah.
I just thanks, Tracy. This is Bob. I just wanted to take issue with Diva's comment, and I'm not an attorney, but I believe the problem is that once a person is charged in any capital criminal case, they cannot add or change the charges in an up. In other words, they can't add additional higher value charges. They can, as the prosecution and or the judge, reduce the charges to a more applicable charge or one that is they have a better chance of winning the case. But in this case, Zimmerman was charged with second degree manslaughter. And they cannot
No, he was charged with
second-degree murder.
He was charged with second-degree
murder. But they cannot raise the bar and make it now first-degree murder.
I never said that.
Hold on, Diva. So you're saying that you can say they can lower the charge, but they can't increase the charge, right?
That is correct. But, the only thing I picked up on... Go ahead.
That's what Diva's saying. I'm saying that they can't do that.
Oh, yes, they can. The prosecutor has total control, and as she pointed out, the judge has some limited control that if they think that the trial is unwinnable at the level to which they were originally accused and charged, those charges can be reduced. And
no, I didn't know that.
She alluded to the Casey Anthony case, and that's exactly what happened. They went after her for first-degree murder, and mid-trial realized they didn't have the evidence necessary to prove it, so they reduced the charges, making it easier or more plausible for the prosecution to fulfill their legal responsibility, and that is to bring justice.
Okay, I did not realize that.
I don't know why you never, ever believe anything I say, Tracy.
Because you're always wrong, because you're a liberal. Listen, I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. I'm going to leave the mics off. South Carolina 814 and Bob Diva, your mics will be on, so please be careful. We'll see you on the other side. The number again is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Harper Keegan with your headline news. A Warren woman says two people stole her dog.
We're back with Tracy.
At Buckeye Firearms, we know that summer is a busy time of year. To show our appreciation for you shopping at our Rogers, Austintown, and Streetsboro locations, we have some special events planned. Listen for announcements about our bi-weekly sales specials. Great pricing and a drawing for a $25 gift certificate every other week at each location all summer long. And through June 15th, special pricing on all pre-owned rifles and shotguns. Coming in July, stay tuned to this station for a very important news bulletin about your favorite gun store, Buckeye Firearms, home of the Buckeye Advantage.
This is the Sean Hannity Show.
When liberals use the Bible and Christianity to advance their progressive ends, well, the mainstream media agrees with them. For them, it's just, oh, yeah, I agree with that. When a conservative uses the Bible and Christianity to advance a conservative point, they hyperventilate the media. They're warning of a coming theocracy in America.
This is the Valley's home for Sean Hannity. This is News Talk 600.
Why should you pay more when your air conditioner breaks after 5 p.m.? Ainsley Heating and Cooling won't penalize you for broken equipment no matter what time of the day or night it happens. By doing what it takes to ensure your complete satisfaction, the Ainsley Group is welcome in more homes in northeastern Ohio and western Pennsylvania than any other contractor. Call Ainsley Heating and Cooling at 330-637-1911 or ainsleyhtg.com.
There, I fixed it.
What is that?
It's our new entertainment center.
It's
2x4s and cinder blocks.
I'm going to post a picture. Go stand by it.
These DVDs are really wedged in here.
No, listen.
For high-end solid wood products, trust the Amish craftsmanship of Weaver's Furniture. Custom orders are available. Just stop by the Weaver's Furniture Showroom at 4537 Gates Road, Middlefield, Ohio. For store hours and more, call Weaver's Furniture 440-693-4685.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-52.
Hello?
Hello?
Can we talk now?
Yeah, we can talk now. She cut the music off.
All right, cool. Yeah, I've been following this a little bit, not much. It's kind of hard not to. But myself, I'm actually a gun owner, and I have a permit to carry, and I do. I think the prosecution with the second-degree murder overshot it. Because how I see it as a gun owner and understanding the laws in my state, because we have, our castle law here also. There's a lot of rule number ones when you carry. And another rule number one is you do not ever put yourself in a situation where you're confronting somebody and you have a firearm on you. That's just stupid. You don't do that, because if something were to happen, now you're in a really bad situation. The fact that he approached Trayvon Martin and confronted him and put himself in a confrontation that ended up in Trayvon Martin getting killed is aggravated manslaughter. That's what they should have charged him with. And he would have basically done the same amount of time, I think, also.
But, see, in Florida, it's different. And this is how a woman who... Well, even if you get aggravated manslaughter, I don't care if they come back with aggravated manslaughter. Because if he comes, even if with aggravated manslaughter, it's still 30 years, and it's still justice for Trayvon Martin.
Right.
I was just explaining to how I saw it as second-degree murder, as State Attorney Angela Corey laid it out for the jury. A lot of people who are not familiar with the law, or the legal style of a courtroom, or how the prosecution will go about charging something, won't get that. They won't see that in Florida, even with a concealed carry, you can't just pull out your weapon. See, the state is not buying George Zimmerman's self-defense claim based on the evidence. One, Trayvon Martin was shot straight through the heart. Meaning the bullet didn't go in at an angle. The bullet went in straight. And two, Trayvon Martin's body was found somewhere different than where George Zimmerman said he was on top of him at. And also where a witness saw them last fighting at. So the state is contending that in that moment, Trayvon Martin had to have possibly gotten up off of George Zimmerman. George Zimmerman then took his gun out, aimed it at Trayvon Martin, and shot him.
We're back in the middle of break in friends here. WSOM AM 600, the number 347-945-5229. We're talking about the Zimmerman case. It's open mic today. And I'm going to bounce around a little bit. As always, I wouldn't be me if I did not do the bounce around. Fixes in studio with me. Jeff, it took a slow boat going somewhere. I don't know how. I talked to him at 5 till 12. He was on his way. And
did he say where he was at? At 5 till 12.
I think he was in Europe.
Might have been in Chicago.
Because I'm confused.
Or Detroit.
You know, he wouldn't be in Detroit, because he could have made it here by now. He was in Detroit. Didn't you tell you see the speed limit went up? Dee was on the line. Bob was on the line. They were talking about the trial and the lesson about the laws of Florida versus the laws of Ohio. South Carolina, Dee has something to say to you, so you're on the line, and I'm going to let Dee say she's sorry to you.
Hello?
Hey, Diva. South Carolina, is that you or is that Mike?
It's Mike, Tracy.
Hey, Mike, you know what? The three numbers in the beginning are messing me up because you see, I can no longer call you South Carolina. I got to wait and make sure it is you. How you doing, Mike?
Fine, thank you. Did you have a good weekend?
Yes, I did. How about you?
Yeah, we did down here.
Oh, good.
Got a lot of work. Got a lot of good, useful work done. One of these days, Tracy, I would love to do a show and engage Sticks talking about his conversion to natural gas and everything else and some of the alternatives.
You need to listen more often. Give him a call because we do that often.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, we've been on 7 years. What do you want?
My little R&D company is doing a lot of stuff on alternative fuels and stuff that are decentralized energy sources because that's really going to be the security of this nation is to be decentralized with your energy.
You really think they're going to let that happen?
When you say decentralized, what do you mean?
Local, within a 15-mile radius of where you're using it. There's lots
you
of
really
ways
think
to go on that.
You think they're going to let that happen?
Oh, yeah. They can't stop it. That's the beauty of it because it's so small. They can't roll in big, heavy guns to take down somebody who's only making enough fuel for 100 or 200 families. They just can't fight that many.
Oh, I can tell you. I was reading about a dairy farm in California that has a methane digester, and they're making enough methane to power 800 homes. Off of 1,500 cows.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Are they making methane out of cow flatulence?
Doo-doo. Yes, cow doo doo.
Get out of here.
Oh, it's well done.
They're not making methane gain out of cow poop.
I have a friend of mine in Vermont lives 1 mile away from a landfill, and she's one of 1,100 homes that are powered by the generators that are running off the methane from the landfill.
Actually, the Central Ohio Solid Waste District just signed a deal. They're going to actually pull methane off the big garbage dump down by Columbus and ship it to California.
Are they really?
Mm-hmm. Remember,
cool.
We had that gentleman on.
Right.
Yeah. And the reason they're doing that rather than using it locally is because of the
regulations, isn't it?
No, it's because of the... for one thing, California requires a certain percentage of their gas to be... biofuel. They're calling reclaimed methane a biofuel. And the second reason is the cost of natural gas in Ohio is so cheap because there's so much available right now.
Uh-huh.
But they can actually get a higher price for it in California than they can.
So why are my bills going up?
I don't know. Your natural gas bill's going up?
Might as well. Everything else is going up.
Electric bill's going to go up.
Nothing else is coming down.
It's a shame, too,
natural gas.
They could power those plants between clean coal and natural gas. They could power our electric supply in this country, and our bills should fall to half of what they are now. But they won't do it.
Oh, the power companies and the energy companies want to do it. It's the federal government that's in the way.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, the government. Yeah, the government. Yeah, the government won't let them. This is why we need to go to alternative fuels that are small. And we start busting the grid up into real smaller and smaller and ever smaller pieces so that, first of all, we have more national security that way. And, by the way, that's just not my thinking about it. That's General Wes Clark, who was a well-respected military man for many years. He sees alternative energy not as a way to save a buck, but as a matter of national security.
I don't think most people realize this, but the majority of people, at least in Ohio, could have a gas well in their backyard. They wouldn't even need to be hooked up to the grid.
And they wouldn't have to be worried about jobs either because they'd be so rich from the royalties.
Even if you just drilled a small one just to heat your own home.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. For your own needs, yeah. Tap it.
Yeah.
And well, there's so much out there.
You guys
so
really
much
think they're going to let us do that?
It's amazing how little gas it takes to heat a home. Well, yeah, they can.
Well,
they can through regulation and taxes.
Yeah, I understand that. But
I mean,
they can
kill anything
through regulation and taxes.
You know, if you want less of something, just tax them. If you want less work, just raise the income tax. We've seen that.
Yeah. You can either reward or punish the behavior you want by what you charge people to do it.
Right.
Pretty much. Hey, it's Alabama. Your mic is on. What's going on, darling?
What's going on?
How you been?
I've been all right. Just chilling, really. Been off about 6 days, like 5 or 6 days.
Now, why you been off 5 or 6 days?
Say what?
Where you been on 5 or 6 days? What kind of mess is that? That sounds like a holiday.
Hey, I was just chilling. I took off and I just hung out in that lounge. I ain't really go nowhere. Just hung out up here. But it's interesting. What I find interesting, I'm not upset about it because I'm doing other stuff to make sure that this doesn't happen. But I want to kind of add this. My hourly rate, I'm not going to say specifically, but I had an hourly rate of a certain amount, right?
Right.
I got another project that's significantly higher. We're talking maybe $20,000. But for some strange reason, I'm only clearing $100 a week more.
Mm-hmm.
So I go and look, and it's the federal, and I went and talked to the people. They were like, it's the federal tax rate that something somehow, and that's with me claiming another dependent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still only clearing $100 a week extra.
Uh-huh.
And I'm making $20,000 more per annually.
Uh-huh.
So they raping me that much more money.
Can you say Uncle Sam?
I mean that's the thing that really bothers me. It's like people vote themselves free stuff and basically take it out of people's pockets, and they don't realize what they're doing.
Right.
So, and it's not like I crossed another bracket. Now I'm still supposed to be in the same bracket. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
Maybe it's, I don't get it. It's not even
you,
that I rolled up through another bracket.
You crossed the bracket, baby, and they're going to get you. You can't be making money.
I heard they went up in January, and maybe the other company that I used to go through as a contractor, I think they didn't, it's something they didn't do. They may have didn't change something. And
did you go back to them and tell them?
No, this is a separate project, so I can't go back to them because I'm not really working through that company anymore. So it's kind of like a recruiting firm. So when you get placed on another project, this firm is, I don't know why, but it's just kind of something's going on with the income, which really upset me when I saw my, you know, deposit. I was like, what is this?
Uh-huh.
You know, so,
Tracy,
I mean, I want to hear that, you're single. See, that's the thing. It's like, if you're single, you don't have as many bills. You can create
uh-huh.
wealth. You can do a lot of things that a married person can't do. But they know, okay, if you're married, you know, we'll let you have a break. But see, now you got, you know, daycare, you got all these different bills. So it's almost like they get you coming and going. So I really have a personal problem with income taxes. I just really don't think it's legal. So it's just stealing, man. It's just outright stealing.
But
so.
It may not be legal, but it may not be right, but it's legal. And don't
not,
forget, they
not.
Get rid, they get hold on to Alabama, and they get ready to tie your health care to it.
I mean, it's nothing we can do. I mean, they're crooks. And the sooner this country goes on, it seems like it's going to be the better because they're getting crazy with this stuff. Like, it's just getting – they're getting in people's emails. They're getting in – if you got certain opinions that they don't like, they're coming after you. They're going after people. I mean, it's just – and people quiet. Most people are asleep and don't care. They're not aware of it. They like, the noose is tightening around their neck. They don't even see. Because, okay, a Democrat – What if the Republicans are so racist? What if a Republican gets in there and he don't like black people? People got to think. You don't just give people control over your life and not think that there are going to be some consequences later on down the line when they feel like it's time to tighten that noose and pull the gallows and let you fall. Because that's what's about to happen. And for the life of me, I don't even try to argue with people like that no more.
Diva, what do you think?
I'm sorry. I apologize. I wasn't paying attention. I was doing something
what
else.
What kind of mess is that?
I'm sorry?
You are our resident liberal. We need you here.
What? I mean, how you going to...
My
gonna,
mind is not focused on politics at the moment, so I can't get into that argument.
Your mind is focused on Trayvon Martin?
Yes, it is. Well, it's focused on the trial because that's my other passion. Law is my other passion.
But now listen,
right.
Trayvon Martin... Whether we like it or not, I don't like politics. I've heard that more times than I would like. But they do not realize that your politics are tied to your criminal rate.
I never said I didn't like politics.
It's not your priority. So if we
I've
want
never
to stop our
said
trade,
I didn't like
if
politics.
We want to stop, If we want to stop Trayvon Martin, we need to become astute in our politics.
It's not just about Trayvon Martin. Anytime I find a case that I'm interested, you know I've done the same thing with Casey Anthony and her trial. My other passion is law. So if I have something that I'm focusing on, a trial that I'm interested in, I will switch my passion and focus solely on that. It's not just because it's Trayvon Martin.
And you dropped me like a bad habit.
I sure did. So you ought to know. It's not.
You know, you dropped me during the Casey Anthony case, too.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Diva.
So my passion at the moment is this trial. So that's where my focus is. I'm doing research as to this trial as far as laws, case law, the Florida statutes for Sandra Law, and defense.
I mean, they're botching
the
trial. They're botching the trial, though. They're botching it. I mean, if the guy gets off, I mean, hey, they're botching the trial. I mean, it's just too many. Every time I turn around, he's doing something stupid. So
I mean,
the girl up there.
If you're watching the trial straight through, you probably won't get that impression. But if you're watching it and then you're hearing panelists on TV discussing it, you may get that idea. But I don't think they're
watching it throughout
the day because the elements that they've charged.
What'd you say?
Well, we'll see.
You'll see.
The elements that they charged was George Zimmerman.
Yeah.
Pulled out his gun, pointed it or aimed it at Trayvon Martin, which is a felony. And in committing that felony, he showed a depraved indifference to Trayvon Martin's life by shooting Trayvon and killing him.
When did he pull the gun out? Was he pulling the gun out in the midst of the struggle, or he pulled it out when he confronted him?
Based on the evidence, Trayvon Martin was shot directly in the heart. Mm-hmm. Now, based on the evidence, the trajectory of the bullet is if you're laying on your back and you pull out your weapon, which was impossible based on evidence that he did it, but anyway, and you pull out your weapon, that bullet is not going to go in the way that the physical evidence is coming back showing it went in. It's going to go in. The law of gravity shows it's going to go more likely go in at an angle. And the way he said he pulled it out, more likely where he would have hit Trayvon Martin would not have been straight dead on in his heart. The way Trayvon Martin had him pinned down. So they're looking at all of that evidence, and they're saying, no, this didn't happen. From the evidence, it didn't happen the way he is saying it happened.
That's already been proven.
No, it has not been proven.
No. Hold on. When he said that Trayvon Martin asked him after he was shot, he moved. Trayvon Martin moved or talked to him after he was shot, and said something. Remember in that video?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the coroner came in last week and said where he was shot, there was no way he was doing a whole lot of moving because he was paralyzed, and there was no way he was talking.
Well, what
exactly?
What it's going to boil down to?
Look,
Hold on, Alabama. What it's all going to boil down to is whether the jury thinks that Trayvon Martin threw the first punch, or if Zimmerman did. That's what it's all going to boil down to.
Hey, listen, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Conservative 719, your mic is on.
Hi, this is Derek Wilburn in Colorado Springs.
I need for you to hold on. Let me take my top of the hour break, and I'll be right back with you. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM. Avoid the rush and listen to us. Tune in to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, weekdays noon to 3 on News Talk 600. We cover the local and national issues that affect you and your community. Get talking to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSON.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. Crash investigators say an Asiana Airlines 777 that crashed on landing in San Francisco Saturday was traveling significantly below the target speed during its landing approach. The crash killed two people and sent more than 180 to hospitals. ABC's Alex Stone with the latest on the investigation.
The focus is very much on the pilots. The captain was training on the Boeing 777, and the so-called black boxes show airspeed was way too low. The crew made a call to abort the landing 1.5 seconds before impact, when stall alarms were going off in the cockpit.
Hazardous conditions are getting in the way of efforts to search for 40 people still missing after the explosion of an oil tanker train in Quebec, Canada this weekend. It's still too dangerous to get near the section of downtown Lac-Mégantic that was destroyed by the fire. The BBC's Rob Brumby.
The devastation unleashed is plain to see. Buildings were incinerated, a bustling community transformed into a wasteland.
At least five people were killed. The defense continues to present witnesses in George Zimmerman's second-degree murder trial in Sanford, Florida. ABC's Aaron Katursky is there.
Friends and neighbors of George Zimmerman have testified here, and each affirmed they heard his voice in the background of a 911 call yelling for help. Such statements helped defense attorneys show Zimmerman was attacked. They also gave prosecutors an excuse to play recordings of Zimmerman uttering expletives. The state believes those words demonstrate spite, ill will, or hatred toward Trayvon Martin, critical for a second-degree murder conviction.
Teresa Hines Carey, the wife of Secretary of State John Kerry, has been upgraded to fair condition in Boston. She suffered seizure-like symptoms over the weekend while on Nantucket. Billionaire investor Warren Buffett is giving five charities more than $2.6 billion worth of Berkshire Hathaway stock, part of his plan to give away his fortune gradually. This is ABC News.
Police called and broke the bad news to Charles. His personal and financial information was found on an identity thief's computer disk. Nervous and confused, Charles called LifeLock, the industry leader in identity theft protection. LifeLock went into action, uncovering multiple fraudulent credit applications the identity thief was trying to open in his name. LifeLock shut them down and helped him restore his good name and credit. Charles found out the hard way that identity theft is a global crime, a crime that's become so complex, you simply can't fight it alone. Your personal and financial information is everywhere. Don't wait for a call from the police before you take action. Visit LifeLock.com now or call and mention promo code AWARE to get a special 10% discount. Call 1-800-305-2203. 1-800-305-2203. 1-800-305-2203. See LifeLock.com for details. Network does not cover all transactions and scope may vary.
During the summer travel season, some tips on avoiding identity theft while on the go. ABC's Richard Davies.
Losing personal documents can be expensive and inconvenient. How to protect them?
Take your sensitive documents like your passport, your visa, your driver's license, credit cards, and the like, and make copies.
Adam Levin of the security firm Identity Theft 911 says if your documents are stolen,
you don't have to rely upon a friend or family member or lawyer in the middle of the night thousands of miles away.
You can put your documents on a thumb drive or store them online.
You can just download the information, print it, and be in a position to authenticate yourself.
Richard Davies, ABC News.
Tropical storm warnings have been posted for Barbados, Dominica, and St. Lucia as Tropical Storm Chantal races toward the Caribbean. Chantal's winds now 40 miles an hour, but could strengthen by the time it reaches the islands later today or early tomorrow. And it could reach Cuba by midweek. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Homeowners, in today's world, no
fit family, unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Okay, I'm having problems. Welcome back to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Jeff and Sticks. Jeff, that was a long, I talked to you the 5 till 12.
Hey.
He was on your way. See you in a minute. Hung up from you. And it takes you a whole hour to get down the street.
Look.
So, no. I got company on the phone. I'm not talking to you.
Whatever.
Hey,
hello, company.
Hi, company. It's 6 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock here on WSOM. Six is over there. And he's looking at me like, what in the world? What's going on here?
I don't think I'm logged in.
I'm doing something that men aren't very good at.
What's that?
Multitasking.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
That's true.
There's a gentleman who's on the line with me, and I've been trying to connect with him for some time, and it's open mic, and usually on open mic we don't have any special guests on. But I had to get him, and, you know, I contacted him last week and said, can you call in on Monday? He's from Colorado, and he's a part of the Rocky Mountain Black Conservatives. And so I wanted him to come on and talk to us about him being a black and a conservative and to make sure that was I heard what he said and read what he said on Facebook right.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you? Mr. Black Conservative from the Colorado Mountains. I know you're there. Did it drop? Couldn't have dropped.
No, 719. Find out if there's anybody else out there, then you know whether it's your connection or not.
Alabama, you there?
Yeah, I'm the black conservative from Alabama. What's up?
There you go.
Are you sure, Alabama, or are you just not a libertarian that's just gone wacky?
No, it's not that. I just do regular math. I mean, it ain't got nothing to do with being a libertarian. I don't believe in homosexual marriage and all that, but I just think that math is math when it comes down to certain things. I mean, you know, Republicans aren't saying that. So when you say conservative, you know, you have to kind of look at it from a different standpoint sometimes. Everybody we've been taught to think in these paradigms, you know, and I hear what Ron Paul was saying. And apart from certain social issues, of course, I mean, because of my faith, financially, he was dead on right now. And I feel like even, you know, on his foreign policy, I feel like most of what he was saying was dead on. I mean, I don't see nothing wrong with pulling back and letting people handle their own situation sometimes. I mean, I think it's okay to have, you know, with these drones nowadays, we can do whatever we want to do. So as far as to a certain extent, I mean, you have to have boots on the ground sometimes. But, I think we got to stop looking at libertarians, quite frankly, are our allies right now. I mean, whether we want to admit it or not.
Hey, Alabama, you brought up your faith. Do you believe it's a Christian concept to force somebody to give charity?
I don't think that's not even biblical. I don't even think the church is forced. I think it's the Old Testament. You're dealing with a theocracy. That was their tax to the government. So when you go to Malachi 3, will a man rob God? You're really talking about you're not paying your taxes. But you go to the new covenant, the church, sowing bountifully, sowing reaped sparingly. That's how I believe. So I believe it's all from the heart when it comes to giving.
Right.
My question
when it
is,
comes to government, when it comes to government, I feel as though, yeah, you should have certain, you know, you can have taxes, but the way the Constitution initially had them set up,
it wasn't supposed to be there coming in and taking personal property, which is my property, is my actual money for my labor. They shouldn't be able to touch that.
But see, this is my question. This is my issue. If they have the, if we have the power because of the Constitution, tell me why is it that we won't listen to people who are trying to free you?
Because freedom is hard. If we go back to the system that we had prior to all this welfare system and all this subsidies and stuff, that makes people responsible for themselves, and it also makes you directly responsible to help your neighbor when you directly see your neighbors in need.
719, Colorado, 719, are you there? I can't find him.
You know what, though? One thing I want to add, too. I had a situation where I was down financially, and I was dating this female, and she acted a certain way because of my situation. Because I wasn't financially at a certain point, there were certain things she would do and say because she knew, okay, he's not in the situation to take, you know, and then as soon as I realized that, I started taking action to get out of that situation. And she changed her tune real quick. So when it comes to having a financial, you know, having situations, just because you feel like you're poor or you're in a situation, you're going to get used, you're going to get abused until you are empowered. And my allegiance, if I was a Democrat liberal, my allegiance would still be, okay, who's really trying to empower, not pacify, not give me, you know, a check to make it 30 days, but a check to get me on my own feet where I'm owning my own businesses in my own neighborhood. The same thing that Malcolm X, Marcus, just about every black leader that's been killed was saying the same thing. Own your own neighborhoods. We don't own anything. So
but listen,
nobody's
Alabama,
ever trying to empower me.
Amen to that. Tracy, this is Derek in the 719 in Colorado. Yeah, I'm sorry. I have my headset on, and the battery had died, and I didn't realize it. I was talking to you.
Oh, okay. So you're there. I'm glad you're there. How you doing?
I am fantastic. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Now, you're an African-American in Colorado, and you're
indeed
a conservative.
Indeed.
What is up with that?
That's a pretty broad question, but to make it real simple, I believe in personal liberty, personal responsibility, less government intrusion into the private sector, into private lives, fiscal conservatism, let's not spend money that we don't have.
I like that, too. So
I
why
mean, I could go
we
on,
have...
but those are the basics.
So tell me this. I don't know about you and in Colorado, but here in Ohio, we have a hard time explaining to people that they need to stand up, become independent of the system, and become a participant in their own future.
It is a challenge. And, you know, I love the things that Alabama is saying because you couldn't be more right. And at the end of the day, it's very easy to get Peter's vote if you can rob Paul to pay for it. And unless we find a way to break that chain and break that cycle and get some of the money out of the vote buying process, which is what's happened in the black community, we're not going to change things. And the message that I deliver to my black brothers and sisters isn't even necessarily of a libertarian mindset like he has, and I agree with him, but it's to say, you know, if nothing else, the way we in the black community, the way we operate is stupid. We've essentially said to the Democrat Party, we're voting for you. In advance, it doesn't matter. Nothing matters. Who you are, where you are, what you believe in, what you stand for, nothing matters except the letter after your last name. You could have been busted in a hotel room with crack cocaine and hookers, sent to prison, got out of prison, managed to get your name onto a ballot, and so long as there's a D after your last name, we're voting for you. Well, that's just plain stupid. We've got to break that because we've neutered ourselves as an electorate.
So, because I'm having a hard time here getting us to understand, it's really, we won't wake up and smell the coffee. We won't understand that if we don't do something serious about this and change it, we're going to go down a downhill slope because no one's coming to save us. And they're so enamored with Barack Obama and the First Lady. They do nothing wrong. So they think it's okay, everything that goes on, And at the end of the day, it's all about us, and we're losing. Mm-hmm. Education's lost.
That's true. That
economic development's lost. And we love them. And unemployment's going down except for in the black neighborhood and the kids, and they're going up. Education is on the rise, but in the black neighborhood it's going down. I'm not quite sure. And we won't speak to it, nor will we stand up, and we haven't come together as black Republicans to make a difference.
Well, we're not looking at the labor participation rate either, Tracy, because that is not going down. The labor participation rate is still at all-time highs, so that's not accurate. The number they throw out is just manipulation.
We understand that, but the number we throw out when it comes to African-Americans not going to work, our young black kids not getting jobs, and us getting incarcerated and shooting one another, it's almost on target.
Yeah,
that's
not
all true. Wiped off of, it's probably in 100 years, that may not even be any black.
In 100
well,
years,
that may be true.
Plenty of black people just won't be in the United States.
Well, they've got us exterminating ourselves, and that's another terrifying topic that maybe that's a different show. But we were at an all-time high as a percentage of the population of about 18% in the late 60s and early 70s. We're now down to about 13%, yet we account for 34% of all abortions. We're exterminating ourselves.
37.5%.
I got 34.7, but pick a number.
Yeah.
The point is it's highly disproportionate.
Still three times what we are.
And we are sitting around voting for and empowering the very people that are doing it to us.
Why?
I think there are two reasons for that.
I think Martin Luther King.
Hold on, Alabama.
Go ahead, Colorado.
Okay, I'll make it quick. I think there are two reasons. Number one, of course, is what we're talking about, the way that we in the black community insist upon voting and refuse to open our minds to anything else. But the Republicans have to take a share of the responsibility here, too. You know, no one's going to start voting Republican just because we think they should. There needs to be outreach, engagement, town hall meetings. I mean, the Republican Party for 50 years has basically said, we can't get those votes anyway, so why bother? And as a result, there's no relationship. And no one, it has to be relationship first, politics second. The Democrats have relationships, which they exploit into votes. The Republicans do not.
He's got a point about there.
I
think you're right about that.
I think it would be a sad day in America if there were no black people left, because who would the poor, dumb, ignorant whites have to blame for their situation?
Hispanics!
Dang, Mike.
Mike, Hispanics, they are the new N-words. You didn't know that.
No, I didn't know that.
Don't say the N-word no more.
I didn't say the N-word. I said the N-word.
We don't say the N-word.
Well, that's what they're trading for you on, because there's more of them. They don't have any real power because the country is powerless, you know, that they live in right now. So, you know, there's no thing for them to be afraid of.
You agree
know.
With that, Six?
So the Spanish that are now the new N-word, does that stand for no speak English?
No speak English. That's what it means. Very good, Mike.
No speak English. Welcome, Brian.
Hey, Colorado, listen, what is your first name again?
Derek.
Listen, it is a barbershop. It is double dutch here. You just have to jump in, and I try not to get people to step on each other when they're talking, because
okay.
We do both
That's
breath
cool.
roll as well as Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's
and
my first time,
online.
So I'm getting accustomed to it. But, you know, we're on a very interesting topic, because with the Hispanic, the Latino vote, what you have is you do not have a monolithic group. You know, a Hispanic from Argentina is a very different voter than one from Mexico or Puerto Rico or the Dominican Republic. You have
Absolutely.
To message to them completely differently, whereas a black from Atlanta is the exact same person as a black from Seattle, as a voter, as an electorate. We do not command the necessity for messaging that Hispanics do, and that's why they're going after those votes, because – you know, Cubans, for the most part, wouldn't consider voting for a Democrat. They've been there. They've done that. They know better. You got to message to them differently than you do people from Brazil.
Well, let me ask you this. I want to know, since the Latino community is not a monolithic group in their voting populace, But they're a monolithic group when it comes to when they want to get things done. Because when they want something, they can come together and make things happen. Why is it that African Americans are only monolithic in their politics, but not in anything else?
Tracy, like you, I think there was a time where we were the flavor of the month, and that was in the early 70s when it was time to do things for black people. Now is not time because it's been done. Like that ship has sailed now. They're not going to do, we're not getting reparations. They're not going to do all that. So it's like black people are now both willing participants in their own destruction, their own competition, their own, if you have the worst education and you can't get a job, why would you vote to have illegals legalized that come over here and take the same, that's going to apply for the same position you're going for? Like black people don't, I mean, he's right. They don't think. Somebody said that a minute ago when it comes politically. They just don't think. Like they had a legal speaking at own convention. I mean, that lets you know what's going on right there.
Wow.
You know,
willing participants in our own destruction. That'll preach. I'm going to give you credit for that the first time I use it. After that, it's all mine.
Hey man, you're doing your thing. I'm going to tell you just like this. You know, people don't realize when you have a party that has in their party platform abortion to destroy all of the, you know, like you said 34%. I have a 37.5% figure out of 1.2 million babies aborted a year. But it doesn't matter. It's still an alarming rate, and that does not entail the murder rate of the inner cities, black-on-black crime, which is keeping the economy of the United States alive so they don't do anything about it. Number three, you also have the political structure where you have every major city in this country run by one party, and we vote for that party in droves, but yet we're poor as hell, and we don't have anything to show for it. And then when you have a Republican that says, well, we're going to do enterprise zones and this, that, and another, you have Democrats blocking it and taking and defunding it, and then you have no school choice whatsoever, so your kids remain dumb and they don't learn when it's proven that if you put them in a good system and feed and clothe them, they will grow up to be very intelligent and smart. African-Americans on... Go ahead.
I was just trying to add in with what you just said. You can't play checkers. You got to come in and say, look, because of slavery, you got to play that. You got to throw that in there before they do. And you got to come in and say, look, because of this, because you are downtrodden, we're going to do X. Then let them come in and look like they're racist. That's how you got to play that card before they do.
But what's happening is we have not been educated enough to realize that we are being duped. We are just being played. 440, your mic is on.
You're right, you're being played, because there was no relationship with the Democratic Party. All it is a bunch of promises, I will give you, I will give you, I will give you. Now they're not going to give you, and they're going to give it to the Mexicans when they come across and they make them citizens or whatever, and you're going to be an afterthought, the black community I'm speaking. It is what it is. I mean, you're going to have to do something now to stop what's going on, or you're going to be a footnote in history, and that's it.
Can you say Native American?
Yes. It's the same thing. It's the same exact thing, and nobody gets it. Don't talk about what's happened in the past. You better talk about what's happening right now and what you can do about it right now, because rehashing everything over and over every day is not going to get you anywhere. You all got to do is, you guys got played, and you got to understand that you got played. And you got to get them out of there, and you got to get. You got played. Everybody was cheerleading this guy in there, and look what happened. Look what happened. Are you any further ahead than you were before? No.
Well, hold on. Completely, you know what they'll say? No. They'll come in and say,
hold
on, Alex. On 400. That's what they're going to say.
Listen, Derek, Alabama, listen, I got Derek on here from Colorado. He doesn't understand how the double dutch goes, so we got to give him a chance to jump in. But he's trying to be polite, and it's not working. So what are you saying, Derek?
I'm getting my points in. I don't feel like I'm getting my points in. I agree. I disagree with the caller in the sense that we cannot forget the past. That's a lethal mistake, particularly since the past is the present, especially in our major cities. I just made this point this morning that, you know, you cannot find a majority Republican voting inner city in the United States. It doesn't exist. Chicago, Detroit, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, you name it. We have only voted for Democrats for 50 years in those communities, and nothing changes. Nothing improves. And if we don't have the ability to look in the rearview mirror and point that out, we lose a very, very valuable argument.
Yes, sir, Colorado, you are 100% right.
Good. Send me a check.
That'll be the Obama money, and he'll have it in the mail for you.
Hey, Derek. No. He'll outlaw us, man. Black conservatives are not allowed. You know that. You know they're you know they're listening. You know, because every now and then we get that signal interruption of our signal. You know they're shutting us down, and I'm being facetious, of course, but. I don't think that that's, you know, really far past anything. I think that that's really something that this type of government does. People don't realize what a Marxist socialist government is. And when they see progressives come on the scene and they're doing these things, they think that they're for the people, they're for the middle class. If that's the case, then why has the middle class shrunk by at least 15% in the past 4 years?
Let me throw this in. I've got to take a break in a few minutes. And Six, I want you to jump in when I come back from break. Last night I was out getting gasoline, and a little boy, I guess he was about 7 years old, he came over to me while I was pumping gas and asked me could he get $5 for me so he could go into the store and buy something. Now, it's about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. Please tell me, one, a couple things. One, why is he out? Where were his parents, and what gave him the boldness to walk up to a complete stranger and ask for money so that he could buy something in the store, and he's been trained to receive handouts? I'm going to take a break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Fit family. Unique. Individualized. Family on Route 46 in Austin Town. FitFamily1.com. That's FitFamily1.com.
Hey, I'm back for just a moment. Just for those that are in the chat room, if you want to continue the discussion there, you can. I'm going to turn off the mic and turn off the commercial so you guys can go for it, and I'll be right back.
Dead silence. We get permission to talk. We don't want to talk.
Yeah, who's there? Oh, what's up, Mike?
Mike here from South Carolina. Who's that?
This is South Carolina.
Hey. How you doing, South Carolina?
I don't know who else is in there.
Derek in Colorado.
Derek in Colorado.
Also,
yeah,
Derek.
I can do another 8 or 9 minutes.
Okay. Okay. Are you on your lunch break, Derek? Is Alabama
here? Alabama.
Is Alabama?
Yeah, I'm here. Alabama.
Hey, Alabama. Here. This is Mike in South Carolina. I just want to ask you a question. I didn't want to do it live. Okay, because it's kind of personal about your tax situation and all. You have family responsibilities. I heard you mention that. Are you self-employed?
Well, technically, but I'm not. Like I'm working somewhere as a contractor, but I'm not. I mean, I'm working as an IT contractor.
Okay. Are you incorporated?
No.
You need to investigate that big time. It's how I do it. I've earned as much as $250,000 in a year and paid only $11,000 taxes legally.
Well, I have a corporation, Corp to Corp, but the only reason I did W-2 this time because I don't like the actual having quarterly or, you know, to having to come up with X amount of thousands of dollars because that's just not – when I was flipping houses, that was a doozy to try to pull – you know, there were times I had to come up with $25,000.
Yeah,
and I don't want to deal with that. I just don't. I'd rather do W-2 and then go do other things apart from that. Like, okay. I do real estate investment. Like, I buy houses and mm-hmm. other things like that to try to, you know, well, actually, I'm kind of a, what are they call it a speculator, where I buy, fix, and flip. But okay. I'm just not, you know, that's just not my cup of tea. Really, I don't really even want to do what I'm doing now, but mm-hmm. I'm doing this for, you know, stability.
Mm-hmm. As an individual walking like the sheep to the slaughter, on April 15th with a W-2 in your hand and a check, you only have about 6 or 7 legal write-offs. As a corporation, you have 106 legal. There's a lot of your personal life that legally can be written off through a corporation. And the secret, and this is taught to me by people a lot smarter than me and a lot more wealthier than I am.
I don't even disagree. I'm not disagreeing. I agree with you. I think it's a better idea to do it that way.
Yeah, because what they were telling me was the secret in this whole game, the way the tax structure is now, is to become a low-paid employee of a very rich corporation that loves your butt. Okay. And just for estate reasons and a whole bunch of other reasons, it just gets better to be incorporated. And then even when you're doing the W-2 thing, you can sign a personal services agreement with your own corporation that the money you get paid, you're under contract, just like doctors are to their own practices. And then you can get a guaranteed paycheck or whatever else. But, yeah, this whole tax system is unfair. But the biggest unfairness is they're not obligated to tell you how to pay less legally. They'll put you in jail if you mess up and don't do it legally. But they're not obligated to tell
now,
you.
I know individuals, this guy showed $700,000 in real estate transactions.
Yeah.
They just show up and say, look, you owe $700,000 in taxes on $700,000.
Right.
As if he just did all these, bought all these houses for free and fixed them and didn't have to pay for anything.
That's because whoever was helping him with his taxes or he didn't file and they'd get the
right. No, he didn't file at all. But then when they showed up, they just assumed, you owe $700,000. You made $700,000.
But that's part of the game they play to get your retention. Because if you don't file something and other people are writing in 1099 showing that they gave you all this money so they can deduct it from their income tax. That's how they find you with that. And it's his own darn fault for not being prepared to say,
how many years can they go back?
That's the part you got to be careful of when you're dealing with them. This is why I don't recommend anybody deal with them unless they got professional help, a tax attorney or one of these agencies that does this work. Normally they say 7 years. But you see, there's a little piece of paper that they will get you to sign. And they'll basically, good cop, bad cop, maneuver you into signing this piece of paper that basically throws away the statute of limitations, and they then have the right to ask you for 20 years ago. And who keeps tax records for 20 years? You know? They tried to pull that once on me. And I was just smart enough. They pushed a half a sheet of paper in front of me, and the guy says, well, if everything you're telling me is true, then you would surely have no reason why you wouldn't sign this stating that you're dealing with us in good faith. And it was a half a sheet of paper. And
the IRS is a criminal organization, like the mafia.
Isn't that the truth? Sure.
Hey, Alabama, I need to get your contact information, man. You and I need to get connected.
Okay. Tracy has it. Tracy, just send her a private message.
Yeah.
And I've tried to reach out to a couple of people. Everybody's phone number's wrong or, you know, so. But. My information is 334. She knows it. So that's the area code. So just give me a call.
When do we come in off a break? Anybody know?
Probably in a few minutes.
Yeah, we're still running commercials and stuff right now.
Okay. My brother's actually a Tea Party member in Alabama. So, I mean, he.
With Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
Now, here's Tracy.
Hey, we're back. And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Derek, I hope they behaved themselves while I was gone. There's no guarantee.
They did not. They did not.
They would.
We did not.
I believe
no, that. No. The NSA is blowing up right now over what these brothers are talking about on the break.
Oh, big time.
I'm telling you. They incriminated all of us.
NSA, is that more of that? Is that more of that stuff we were talking about earlier? No Speak American? Is that what NSA is?
You got it wrong.
No Speak American. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229, and it is open mic. I did call out to a conservative out of Colorado. His name is Derek, and the reason why I couldn't remember his name is when on his Facebook page, it just says African American conservatives, and I liked his friend, and I love his post. And I'm like, wow, there are other people that are thinking like us across the country, and you don't hear about this kind of thing. Inside of your everyday news, inside of your everyday way, you don't hear about there are African Americans who are conservatives who are concerned. And they're not concerned where you become like them, but they want you to come out of what you're in because right now you're being bamboozled and brainwashed by the media and by the political system, and it's to your demise. Derek, how did you become a conservative? How did this happen? And were you raised a conservative? Did you have an epiphany? Did you wake up one morning and have a Road to Damascus thing? What happened?
No, I wasn't raised necessarily a conservative. My house wasn't extremely – my parents weren't real politically aware. I came to conservatism. I credit my wife, who then was my girlfriend, who led me to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So I became a Christian 20, 25 years ago, and I was a Democrat at the time. And like a lot of people, I just began to compare my voting habits with my faith confession and realized there were inconsistencies and had to determine who I was going to be more loyal to, the one whom I call creator of the universe or a group of men and women in Washington, D.C. And there was no decision there. So I pretty quickly reached the point after a year or two of registering as an independent because I wasn't ready to go far enough and become a Republican. But I reached the point of realizing that there were things that the Democrat Party, whom I'd always supported, stood for and believed that I could not justify with my faith in the Bible. That's how it
Thank
began.
You.
So let me ask you this. Are you a minister? Are you a pastor? Are you a preacher? You know, are you just a born-again Christian?
I mean, all of us are supposed to be ministers, but in terms
but
of having an ordination or a congregation,
yeah.
No, I am not.
Okay, let me ask this, and maybe you can put shed some light onto this. When I look at, in our area, we're in Northeast Ohio, we have approximately anywhere from 149 to 159 just black Christian churches. And we've got a population of about 48% of African Americans. Can you tell me why is it that when you look at the Christian, quote-unquote, people, they have not been able to find out that murder and same-sex marriage and if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat, all that kind of stuff is not somehow being penetrated into this spiritual society called black folks in their churches? And how the person that they call the pastor, the preacher, the prophet, the evangelist, all of them aren't preaching that from the pulpit. Because in my preach, I don't preach politics. I just preach God. And with my God comes politics. It comes government. It comes responsibility.
I've thought about that every which way but sideways, and I come to only two conclusions. There are only, I believe, only two possible explanations in the world. Excellent. Possibility number one is you are ignorant. You just don't know. I mean, you literally don't know. You don't pay attention. You don't watch the news. You don't know what these people are doing. You just vote, and you don't know. So you're ignorant. Possibility number two is that you have made at some point in your life a conscious decision. You have said to the Lord Almighty, God, in this area of my life, you are number two. The Democrat Party and Barack Obama is number one, and in this area of my life, my political thought, my political expression, you are number two. I'm sorry, I love you, I serve you, but that's how it is. I cannot come up with another explanation outside of those.
Because I'm having a hard time. Because when I talk to some people and that claim they're Christians, and they tell me that they are, and they walk in this, and they go, you know, from Pentecostal to Baptist to AME Zion, all the alphabet. When it comes down to their shaping, they make more excuses about the political plight of the people that they're supposed to be serving than anyone. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. And mm-hmm. my white colleagues come and ask me, they said, Tracy, we don't understand. I'm like, because the first time when President Obama first got elected, okay, there was a great thrill about seeing a black man in the White House. But when he got there and they found out he wasn't who he said he was, even though they wouldn't listen to other people who said he wasn't who he said he was, but then you know, I'll give you a pass on it. But then when they found out, the next time around, they went and did the same thing all over again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And these same people who will play that card and hide behind the Bible and church and all this other stuff were the ones running around saying, how could you vote for somebody who proclaims Mormonism as his faith? You know, trying to have that both ways.
Well, see, here's the thing. At least, you know, and I'd argue it this way, and I did. I said, at least Mormonism is somewhat of a moralistic religion. I said, yes, I believe it's you know, idolatry as well. I believe it's witchcraft in a sense. But at the same time, what you're getting on the other side is way worse. Way worse. Because you have a sustaining of your people living in poverty to now 50% of black people are in poverty. The black middle class has shrunk. You have no opportunities for blacks, and black unemployment is higher than everybody else's. And we've been here longer. Doesn't make sense.
You know, you couldn't be more right. And you're right about the Mormon faith, and we agree in terms of it not being Orthodox Christianity, but Mormon, I'll tell you what, Mormons, their moral compass is pointed in the right direction. Pictures of
absolutely
with 12-year-old hookers in Nicaragua doing cocaine will not surface. It's just that simple. That's just not going to happen. But I wasn't voting for a priest. I wasn't voting for a pastor.
Oh, no.
I was voting for a chief executive officer.
That's what they told me when they were voting for Barack. And I said, listen, he's for same-sex marriage, and he's for this, and he's for that. They're like,
no, he's not.
He wouldn't do that. He's just saying that to get there.
Yeah, oh,
and
clearly. He's just saying, you know, saying the things he needed to say to sound like a Christian to secure that vote. And the funny thing about black folk is, I mean, there are those of us who truly are born again and walking in the Word, and we understand that. But this whole myth that biblical values, that church values, representative of the black community, that is a lie. You don't tell me that you've got four babies by three different baby daddies, and you're taking a check from the government and partying and doing cocaine and smoking weed whenever you can get your hands on it, and somehow your faith is important to you. I don't buy it. And that describes a lot of people who claim, or people who believe for some reason, that they're following biblical principles and that the church is important in their life. That's not true of a lot of us. And that's just hard, cold facts.
Wow. He's tough.
What do you think, Stick? Well, you just said something that you said, friends of yours said Obama's just saying that to get there.
They told me that
if he's bearing false witness just to get in the White House, what else is he going to bear false witness about? I mean,
everything else, lying on IRS.
You and I know that, but I would never vote for somebody that I knew was lying to me.
But you missed what I said. What they said was, I said, well, listen, President Obama is for this and he's for that. And they said, well, he has to toe the line to get there because he's black. And if he doesn't play the politics, they won't let him there. But he really doesn't mean that.
That's what I'm saying. If you're going to compromise your principles to become president, then what happens when you get there?
Because as coming from an African-American view, they say that you have to play the white man's game, even if it's not who you truly are, to get to where you're going.
So sticking to your principles is a white man's game.
Well, it's not so much sticking to your principle. It's playing inside, coloring inside the lines and not going outside.
Yeah, because don't forget now, people, they have principles too. They're just different than yours.
Well, I understand that.
Uh-huh.
I understand that.
And Tracy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hello, everybody. This is South Carolina. I've been kind of sitting here listening. You know, one of the things that really is irking me is the fact that, you know, over the weekend we were having this discussion about Trayvon, but But the deeper issue was this individual, African American, said that I was a self-hater because I made the comment about something that I think is true, that if you are black and you see somebody doing something and they're blaming it on racism and it's not, you've got to call it out. You've got to call it out. And they're saying by me doing that, I'm a self-hater. And I'm like, that's ridiculous. That's not somebody that's self-hating. That's someone that I consider has good character. And at some point, you know, why are you calling the truth a lie? You know, and
because the Bible said it would come to a day and that man would do that. Hold on. 440, your mic is on. Hold on, Diva.
Yeah, you know, the whole thing about getting help or, you know, being empowered, the one thing that bothers me, and I keep reading this online, if Zimmerman is cut loose and there's going to be riots, it's over. You can just say it's over.
Now, 440, who actually said that there would be riots? So you have to understand, I know it's all over. The question is...
Oh, it's all over in the chat rooms. They're calling for it. I mean, I can name it.
You know what? Doc, listen, you got more white people planting that information about the kill, we're going to riot, we're going to kill if he's put off. Not saying that there's not somebody that actually put that up there, because there is. But I'm telling you, you got people that are trying to build this thing.
They're trying to make it happen.
They're trying to make it happen. Because there'd be nothing else they'd like to do than to make that really, really happen on that kind of a, you know, to gin it up. And then, you know, I wouldn't put it past the government for being part of that. That's where I'm at with it. Because the more confusion.
At the BET Awards.
Right. The more confusion. Yeah, more confusion we have in the country, the better off the government is. And I said it again, the government is just like hell. The Bible says that hell enlarges itself daily, so does the government. And the more control they have over you, that's when they have the power, and you cease to be the government anymore.
Hey, Jeffrey, remember this statement? Never let a crisis go to waste.
Never let a crisis go to waste. Rom Dead Fish Emmanuel.
Yeah, wrong.
Here's the thing. I am not white, and I am not black. I don't know what I am. They told me that my mom was from Kenya, and my father was from Africa.
Hey, I'm just tripping out there with my Baraki accent. What's going on?
That was pretty good.
Wow.
Hey, have y'all ever thought about what if Barack Obama had been at the Last Supper? You know, I think it probably would have been like, Barack, did you bring anything to the Last Supper?
Last night, we fed 5,000 people with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. This time, we're going to have barbecue chicken. And along with that barbecue chicken, we're going to have baked beans and corn. Now I'm going to have Mary and Martha fill up every bucket they can find with water. And believe it or not, we're going to turn water into wine. Yes, we can.
President, where are you calling from?
Who is that?
I am calling from the White House. Actually, and Michelle.
Aren't you on vacation?
There is no 202. There's no 202 on the switchboard here. So we want to know what city you in or where the NSA is having you call from.
Hold on. Don't do it. Don't do it.
He's in the bunker. He's in the bunker.
That's right. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Don't do
because
it.
You know, meta tags are everywhere. I told you the car I drove today, the cold car was a meta tag, and it could lock me in. I took my hands off the steering wheel and said, put your hands back on the steering wheel, please. I'm telling y'all, there's a problem here. I'm serious.
I told you the GPS kept saying speed warning, speed warning.
I took my hands off the steering wheel because I drive with one hand, or if I'm driving too far, I slept. It told me, please put your hand, put your hands back on the steering wheel.
Well, 10 years ago, I was going to school with a guy that had an OnStar when it first came out, and he decided to go to Detroit, and he got a phone call asking him if he knew if his car was in Detroit.
Oh, I called OnStar, and they said, hi, Miss Wimbush, I see you're approaching exit 14. I'm going, hello? So, listen, Big Brother is out, so be careful.
You know,
it's out there. So, be President, listen, we didn't mean it. Because I don't need no I don't want no tax reviews. I don't want no Benghazi incidents, and I want to be able to call 999 and let the police come.
Your name's Betsy, right?
Who?
Your name's Betsy, right?
No, I'll never be a Betsy.
No.
No. Never be a Betsy.
Here's the thing.
Yes, sir.
We had a movie came out a few years ago, and it was called Enemy of the State. We just wanted to let you guys know that everything is under control.
Well, I'm glad it's under control because it's not under control in my neighborhood. Hey, 660-662, your mic is on.
Yeah, what's good?
What's going on?
Man, I'm chilling, trying to do my impersonation, seeing what's going on with y'all.
You did a pretty good one. I got to give that 662. I don't know where you're calling from, but you're good at it. That's pretty good. What state are you in?
I'm calling from Mississippi.
Oh, good deal. Welcome to Ohio.
Oh, thank you, man.
I don't even know.
What's it like? Huh?
What'd you say? What's it like where?
Yeah, what's it like in Ohio?
So right now, it's nice and sunny. The weather's great. The people are good. Things are going well. We got a pretty good governor, and we're trying to make a difference. I just don't know if we can participate as African-Americans in the process.
Man, they've been tricking us ever since we came from Cottonfield. They said 40 acres and a mule. How many black folks going to get 40 acres? I ain't even got a lawnmower to cut no 40. How much gas you got to have to cut 40 acres? A mule? I'm going to be around that mule crazy trying to plow 40 acres.
That ain't right.
You got
that ain't right at all.
But it's the truth.
But it is.
One mule with 40 acres.
It might not be right. But it's true.
I don't need to go get no Sean John. I got cotton fields in front of the house.
Yeah, but you don't own the cotton in the front of your house. And you don't own Sean nor John. So that's a problem. Because I'm a capitalist. And somehow, how you going to have cotton in your front yard and you got Sean John on your shirt and you don't own the cotton or the Sean or John? But you're going to pay $250 to wear it.
Well, see, what I'll do.
Pardon me?
What I do is I walk into the company
for the
and
children?
I talk with an English accent and I tell the people, actually, I want to buy 40 acres of this land that's right in front of my house. And I can't tell the difference.
You know what?
You call on a cell phone, they don't know who you is.
Quite, Governor, I understand you well. I employ the same tactic myself at times.
You guys are
gotten some very nice high rent areas.
Sir, I do believe you're very debonair. Is it what I'm putting the words there?
Yeah, you're good, man. You got that accent down there.
You're good.
Was good.
The number is 347-945-5229. I've got Derek from Colorado. I've got a gentleman from Mississippi down there, and he is hilarious. He's pretty good.
Mississippi, you got to give a name, man. It don't have to be your real name. But so
he's going
to
call him Mr. President. Why are you playing?
Okay, Mr. President.
President.
Then he's going to call him Mr. President.
I like this.
South Carolina, Mike is on the line with us. Mike's going to be with us tomorrow at 1:30, and he's going to sit and we're going to talk about overcoming obstacles. Mike is a blind man. He was blind since birth. Legally blind. He is the first blind person to go to a public school. And he's going to talk to us, and he's a carpenter now. And I want you to understand, he's a carpenter who's blind, who's never seen, and he is not, on the handout end, but he's on the giving end. And we're going to talk about overcoming obstacles and how people need to really, they need to grow up, take on responsibilities, and do something for themselves. So that's on tomorrow afternoon. Did you guys hear about Bill Cosby? And his comments.
No, what Bill did.
What did Bill do now?
I had a piece of paper, and Sticks took the piece of paper
told
because he wanted to read it.
Told the
and
truth again. And he said, he put it this way. He says, we're standing on the corner and we can't speak English. And we talk in broken English. He said that we wear our clothes and we can't afford them, and our priorities are out of line. Our parents don't know where our children are. He says, we don't know. He said, we'll pay $500 for sneakers, but we won't pay $200 for hooked on phonics. He says, and the only time we cry is when we're in an orange jumping suit. Where were we when they were 2 and when they were 12 and when they were 18 and they came home with a pistol? And why is it that they don't know who their father is or where their father is? And why are they putting, he said, don't you think it's something crazy when you put your clothes on backwards? Don't you think this is a sign of something going wrong? Or putting your hats on backwards or wearing your pants around your crack? Isn't this a sign of something wrong? Isn't a sign okay. of something when she wears her clothes all the way down to a hoochie and then comes home with a baby? He says, and you want to be back, you want to be from Africa, but Africans don't act like this, and you're not from Africa. You're actually American. And he talks about this, and they said that they're really having a hard time with him because he keeps on downing black people.
What you mean he keeps on downing black people? He's telling the truth.
He's pointing
out
the obvious.
That's the same thing I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I say that, and I get told that I am a self-hating individual. But telling the truth, it makes no sense. None whatsoever.
I just got finished having a war on Facebook over this very topic last night and this morning. It's still going on now. Same thing. If you have the nerve to stand up and tell the truth, you somehow hate yourself.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is that these people, they don't realize that they don't grant us the same freedoms of thought and belief that they grant white people. Yet they think that we are the ones selling out.
Can you explain that? Can you explain that to me, please?
Of course I can. So
explain.
You look at me, and I don't mean you. I mean, you know, anybody. You look at me, and all you know about me is the color of my skin. That's it. You don't know anything about me if you're on Facebook other than I'm a black man. But you have your own preconceived notions about how I'm supposed to think, believe, feel, vote, everything. And if I don't line up with your preconceived notions, then you believe that you have carte blanche to start calling me names, denigrating me, putting me down, making racially insensitive remarks. It's open season. But you don't look at a white person who is a conservative or a liberal or a libertarian or whatever they are and see anything unusual about that at all. There's nothing unusual about a white Republican. They don't
Derek.
Give us the same freedoms that they give other races.
Derek, I got one thing to tell you. All white Republicans are racist on my Facebook, and I want to find you on there. I really want to check you out.
Hope you do.
Yeah, give us your info. Give the listening audience your information so that they
give
can
me
go find
Facebook,
you.
Give me your Facebook
because
I'm gonna try to find you now.
Page.
I've got a pair of them. Facebook.com/RMBTP. Acronym for Rocky Mountain Black Tea Party, RMBTP, and Facebook.com/AmericanConservativesOfColor. And between those two Facebooks, we've got about 20,000 fans, and I would say that the vast minority of white people on those Facebooks are racist. I don't know how anybody reaches the conclusion that Republicans are racist. How can 56 million people... How can a body that large be racist? It's foolish
Easy.
On its surface.
Easy. You know why? The Democrats tell you it's so. And if they tell you it's so, it's the truth. You know that. You have to come and accept that fact. But give me that Facebook again because I thought I could just go to your name.
Hold on. Let me give it out slowly so they'll catch on. And then, Jeff, I'll make sure you get it.
Okay. Facebook.com/AmericanConservativesOfColor. And the other is Facebook.com/R, like Rocky, MBTP, Rocky Mountain Black Tea Party.
And I've got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I found Derek on Facebook. I'm telling y'all, I became his friend. I liked one of his pages and what they were saying. And you guys have a call-in, and when I come back from the top of my break, will you please give us the call-in information so that people, if they want to call in for your conference call on the weekends, they can?
Sure. Of course.
Thank you. I'll see you on the other side of my break.
You're listening to the Valley's News Talk.
Derek, you do a conference call on the weekend?
I don't do it every weekend, but I do them periodically. I just had one last night.
Okay. How do we get onto your list to be told when and where? Do we go to the I'm just trying to nail this down only because I'm blind and I use a talking computer. And if I don't get it exactly right, I don't get cut any slack.
You'll if you have an app that works with Facebook, I always announce the conference calls on our Facebook.
The RTM BTP.
RMBTP.
Yep. Okay. RMD. Yeah. Okay. That I have. Facebook.
Hey, Tracy,
is not blind
there?
Friendly, but I can get someone. To
no,
do
she's
it.
She's in a different spot. But,
I'm trying to find that Bill. I'm trying to find that Bill Cosby quote, and I don't see it.
Hmm. She'll pull it in, post it in the room. They can hear us while we're in here.
Bill Cosby is always coming under attack for talent, saying the king is naked walking down the middle of the street.
But here's the thing, man. I mean, that's the thing that really bugs me, man. I mean, you know, when you're telling the truth about something, and people are telling you that you hate yourself because you're pointing that out. Their comment is, well, you don't point out stuff that white people are doing. And I said, well, I'm not white.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't feel that I was called to, you know, to minister the truth and stuff like that.
Well, at least you black folks are all talking about this publicly. The disabled community, you would never even have a conversation like this. The community that I'm part of, you know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, they are totally drinking the Kool-Aid for the government who will give them things so they're not responsible for their own life.
I once had a psychologist
tell me that I have anger issues because I'm disabled, because all disabled people have anger issues. And I'm going, I don't have time to be angry. I'm too darn busy doing my own thing.
Amen.
As you guys are.
Oh,
yeah. You don't have time to be all twisted in the knots over this racial thing. Hey, guys, they didn't replace the plantation system with the Republican Party. You know?
Right.
Just to keep you all busy. You know, I have to laugh. They replaced it with the Democratic Party.
I'm not feeling it at all. I'm not feeling it because it's ridiculous to me because
– yeah.
You know, that whole thing with Trayvon, you know, I look at it from start to finish. First of all, they claimed that he was a white guy that did it. Then they had to recant that when it came out that the boy was Hispanic.
And Jewish.
Jewish.
Yeah.
So then they came out and started talking about, well, you know, it's a issue of you know, stand your ground. And why did he have to shoot down this black kid and so on and so forth? Just like with the Jenna Six, just like with Tawana Brawley, all of this stuff was trumped up and based on lies, and we followed behind it 100%. And
the NBC first 911 tape they had, where the guy said, what's this guy look like? And he says he looks like, and it was edited to say he looks like a black man, or he's a black man, or whatever. And then when they played the whole tape, they realized the guy said, well, describe the guy. He said, well, what do you mean? And basically it was, well, is he Puerto Rican, white, black? And he said, oh, he's a black guy. And that was a hatchet job to just whip up all the frenzy over this. And if that stand your ground law applies, when what's his name there was following Trayvon, he was in the wrong. Trayvon could have turned around at any point and just stood there and stood his ground, and then whatever happened, be okay.
Here's the problem you run into, Mike.
Yeah.
Here's the problem you run into, guys, is the fact that they get so upset when they think there's a white guy that has shot a black guy.
Yeah.
But nobody says anything about the 112 black people that got shot in Chicago over the 4th of July weekend. Who's protesting in the street about? Yeah, 112
Man.
In Chicago. Yeah. Who's protesting in the street about that?
So what they're telling me is a black man's life has no value unless he's been shot by a white man.
Yeah.
That's what it tells me, and that's a disturbing message.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Well, like, my thing is that how many times had Trayvon been over there to his daddy house? He was going to his daddy house, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I know that there wasn't Zimmerman first night working, right?
Don't know. I don't know that.
Well,
here's the thing. Here's the thing. We can speculate on that all day long. But the only persons that are going to matter is what the jury hears and what the jury sees. And I saw this happen with OJ. Mm-hmm. I saw this happen with Rodney King. They played. They played out everything and laid out the evidence in the court of public opinion. And mm-hmm. what happened? People didn't like the end result because they were working on emotion and not fact. Jurors work off of fact. They're supposed to. That's the way our legal system is set up. When
right.
you start working off emotion, the whole thing blows up in your face.
Right.
I know they said in the report that he had just got kicked out of school that morning for drugs.
I don't know.
Well, that wasn't allowed into the testimony. That was one of the things they debated, that would be prejudicial for the jury to hear that. And but I don't know if it was that morning. I just heard that he did have trouble at school because of drug use, or he was suspended or whatever. But they said that would be prejudicial, so that wasn't allowed.
And they said that when he was headed over to his dad's house or whatever, they said that his girlfriend was telling him to not, you know, talk with the security guard or you know, make an invitation with the security guard. And this day and time, a 17-year-old boy that's on weed, he ain't trying to hit nobody in no police uniform.
Again, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229, and it is open mic today. Got a guy named Derek out. He has the Rocky Mountain Conservative. He's got several other Facebook pages that he said that was on there. And I just found his postings to be very, very interesting, and it was in a line with what we actually have a conversation about ongoing. And so I contacted him a while back, and we couldn't get it together, and I couldn't remember to do it when I left the studio. And then I found him again and got him on Friday and said, hey, you want to come on next week? And because I think it's really, really important that we begin to collaborate and link together with other people who are like-minded so that we can move forward not only a political agenda, but first a kingdom agenda so that we can free people. People need to be freed, and they don't realize that they're in Egypt. People have no idea that they are really enslaved, and it's worse to be enslaved in your mind than enslaved physically. And right now, people are enslaved mentally, and right now it's really, really bad. And it's to my concern. I have great concern about the mental slavery of Americans, especially African Americans, right now, because their monolithic political attitude, their apathy, and the lackadaisical passive view that they have. And when President Obama comes out of office, if they don't get it together, they're done. Because there is no, we're going to be in a post-racist society that they don't know that they're in. We're going to be in a godless society that we don't want to be in. And we're really not going to have a successful future if we don't stand on our own two feet and get free. And you can unlock the minds, your mind, one, by renewing your mind and through the Word of God and to asking Jesus to open your eyes so that you can see. And then two, being honest with yourself and what you're voting for and begin to take a stand on what you know is wrong. Because are they using the race card down there or out there as much as they use it here?
I don't know, to tell you, because I don't know the political landscape of Ohio very well. Down here, not quite so much, but I live in southern Colorado where you have only about a 3% black population. So, and it's a very conservative area, so there's more conservative blacks here than you would probably run into anyway. But, you know, you raise a really interesting point in that opening monologue And this is something that I asked on my personal Facebook, not on the group, and that is, how close is America to becoming a post-Christian nation? You know, most of Europe, especially Western Europe, Germany and France are good examples, are fundamentally post-Christian. The church there is dead. People don't go to church. People don't even get married. The institution of marriage is passé in those countries. They just shack up until it doesn't work out anymore, and then they move along. And I wonder if in four more years of this leadership, quote-unquote leadership, do we end up like Western Europe and being fundamentally a post-Christian society? It's very troubling, and I think it's happening right in front of our eyes.
I think that's the plan all along. I think that's been plan from when President Obama said he was going to fundamentally transform the United States of America.
Absolutely.
No question.
To turn us into Western Europe. Because progressives think that's the panacea.
He has Euro envy. I wrote an entire essay about this. He has Euro envy. Everything they have, we need to get around on trains. We need to get around in those little bitty cars. We need to do away with Christian doctrine. We need to be more accepting of all forms of relationship. The man has a bad case of Euro envy, and he wants to turn us into France, and he is turning us into France, and we, in the black community, are empowering him.
Derek, did you say Euro envy?
Euro envy.
Euro envy. That's a new word.
My own word. It's my own word. Euro.
That's great.
Euro envy.
Please protect it right away, or I'm
right.
Stealing it.
I spent a considerable.
We miss you.
I spent a considerable amount of time in Western Europe over the years, in England and Italy and Norway, and they're wonderful places to visit. But I wouldn't want to live there. I mean, people just don't realize how much freedom and how inexpensive it is to live in the United States compared to Western Europe. I would talk to people that I worked with, and as soon as I told them I owned a few acres and we had a couple of cars, I was considered a multimillionaire, because those people just do not live like that in Western Europe.
There's no doubt about that.
So let me ask this. Since we know this, why don't we do something about this?
We are.
What are we doing?
I am.
Okay. What are you doing? And what can we do to help you?
That's a very good question, and we need all the support we can get. I founded the American Conservatives of Color. People can learn about it by going to blackandconservative.com, and we have live on-the-ground chapters in Colorado Springs and in Denver. We just branched into Arizona, and I am coming to Florida and Georgia in September to set up chapters there. Specifically for the purpose of reaching into the black and Hispanic communities with the message of conservatism, and to message to Republicans, conservatives, candidates, and incumbents with a plan for how you can begin developing relationships and giving people a reason to engage you as a candidate, because right now they feel there isn't one. We educate on the internet. As you mentioned, I do a conference call. We're doing all in our power to try and start getting the message out and the word out. Turning this ship around isn't going to be fast or easy, but we've got to start somewhere.
Right.
Okay. Well, I have a question.
Uh-oh.
If you have never seen the president and they told you that your president name was Barack Hussein Obama, would have thought that was a black or a white person?
I would have thought he was going to be an Arab.
Oh, okay.
Or a Middle Easterner.
Yeah.
But now, they say he mixed with black and white. But I don't know a black or a white person named Barack Hussein or Obama.
What's your point?
Oh, well, yeah, if you go overseas,
if
you would see quite a few.
He mixed with black in Afghanistan.
Well, here's the thing. If you went to the Middle East, you would see many, many people with that name, because it's a very
popular name there.
Very popular name in that it, you know, what it means. And in Islam, it has a very strong meaning. You know, because, you know, Barack
Barack is the lightning bolt of God, per se. And so you have to understand. You have to understand where they're coming from. It's just like John Smith would be here.
Pardon me? But again, in America, if we had not gotten caught up in the history of his race in 08, and we had listened to what he had to say and actually done our due diligence and had actual journalism taking a part of our media, we would have looked at things a little bit different. But we were so caught up in emotion, and emotion will kill you. Because you should never make a decision based upon emotion. You should make a decision based upon thought.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Barack supposedly don't supposed to like Bush. Why are they always taking pictures together?
The same reason why they went on vacation together last week. I'm just not quite sure if everybody was invited to the meeting.
Why is it supposed to be Republican and one Democrat? They hanging together, but we ain't hanging together.
That's by design, my friend.
Well, his alternative would be to hang around with Michelle, and she holds him to a higher standard. Bush won't.
And the new world order, is that the change that's supposed to come?
Come on, if you're going to go on vacation, do you want to go with somebody who's going to keep you in line, or do you want to go with a beer-drinking buddy?
True.
Well, this was a matter of national security why they came and met in the same place together. And they did have a meeting, whether it was...
Jeff, explain. Let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. You and I are friends.
Yeah.
And when we end up in South Africa
mm-hmm.
at the same time on vacation, it was planned. It was definitely not by accident.
Mm-hmm.
So that the first ladies can have their own summit.
Right.
You know that, right?
Yeah.
We friends. Me and you friends. We closer than Bush and Obama probably are.
Uh-huh.
But when you and I end up in South Africa at the same time, there was a plan there.
Of course.
Yeah.
I believe all this plan, because I got another question.
Uh-oh.
They said that Osama bin Laden blew up the Twin Towers, but Osama bin Laden didn't make the U.S. dollar. How can you fold a U.S. dollar, that's a $20 bill, fold it a certain way and see the Twin Tower falling? Barack Osama didn't make the U.S.
You
dollar.
Know what?
The U.S. government
you are,
made it.
You're going far now.
But if you do, you can fold it to make it to make it look. I saw it done.
Well, here's the point. Here's the point. You cannot escape God, regardless of what is going on. God knew before we got here how wicked we would become. He knew the towers going down when they built them. He starts at the end and goes back to the beginning. Don't forget who we're serving here. If we believe in the God of the universe, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, et cetera, et cetera. So if that's the God we're serving, He doesn't play around. He lets you know where you're at, and He's letting us know daily. And people are blind as H-E double hockey sticks to what He's trying to say.
Derek, give out your website.
The easiest way to reach it to remember is just blackandconservative.com. Blackandconservative.com. And people can find out all sorts of information about upcoming events, where we are, who we are, what we're doing. I'm trying to get this thing nationwide and to really grow it into something.
Derek, you did this wrong. He's looking for people to donate and become partners with them and to make a contribution to what he's doing, because mm-hmm. it takes resources, as you guys know. I know this, and I'm gonna pull his plug, and it takes resources to do what he's trying to do. So if you want to see America get better, and if you want to see America do things, then you have to start sowing into people's lives that they can get to where they're going.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's asking for people to become partners with them, to donate a minimum of, I think it's $9 or $9.95 a month to be a partner with them, and to help him build the platform so that he can educate others into their own freedom. Now you can continue on, Derek, because you was doing that wrong.
You nailed it. It does take resources. It does take money, and that's just the way the world works. Our printing bill alone is huge, but we hand out flyers. We go into the neighborhood and we walk door to door and let people know, look, conservatism is not the enemy. Republicans are not these rich, mean, country club living people who want to eat your children. It's not true. But that does require resources, and we're just spending our own money and putting it on credit cards and asking for anybody that's able to help to help.
Great. Amen.
And so you can go to blackandconservative.com. And
click
and
on become a partner, and they'll...
Yes, follow him, become a partner, be there with him. You guys know we're here at Tracy and Friends. You know, we're doing it here. And what I have found that we're not in competition with one another. We're in collaboration with one another so that we can build a better America, not just Black America. White America thought that if you ignore Black America, it would go away and it wouldn't affect them. Well, time has proven it doesn't work that way. And so white America has to take some responsibility for what's going on here. But we're going to have to take responsibility for our own too. Because it's not all the white man's fault. And we need to get, we need to push past that and say, you know what, we put down our morals and what we knew and picked up somebody else's can and started carrying it. And we need to go back, repent, and go back to the old landmark and do it over again.
Yeah, first we probably got to take off our skinny jeans. That's probably going to start right there.
Skinny jeans?
Yeah, they stop wearing it. That's one part of it right there, skinny jeans.
I like that. Why can't I wear my skinny jeans?
I'm talking about, I ain't a dude, just a big old Arnold Schwarzenegger dude with some skinny jeans. They probably have, you know.
Listen, President, if a man's going to take off his skinny jeans, then I need to take off my pants and let a man be a man, too.
Hey, because he knows the brothers don't have any calves.
That wasn't a good statement.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
No.
Yes, it was.
We're taking numbers right now, Tracy. We're all out here in line taking numbers.
I'm serious. We need to let a man, if he's going to take off his skinny jeans and put on a pair of pants, then we need to put on a dress and let him be a man.
Okay, I like that way of saying it. Better.
Okay. Now I understand.
Much better, Tracy.
Tracy, I'm glad you cleared that up because you put yourself out there on the front street, girl.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
I'm sitting here just imagining some email coming up for this weekend. Tracy's going to be busy.
Here's the thing. How short
will have big coupons for the next 14 years after making a statement like that on the radio.
You know what? You know what I say about you guys? Your heads are in the gutter.
No.
Not in the gutter. Tracy, you heard what you said.
Here's the thing.
You push your ass into the gutter, sweetheart, just walking by.
How short will the dress be?
As a matter of fact, it needs to be down to at least to their knees, not up to their coochie.
It got
to
be one of them holiness dresses.
It don't have to be holiness. It ain't got to be
made out of jeans.
No, it doesn't have to. It does not have to go down to the calf. It can go to the knee. But they need to be a lady again and let a man be a man.
Mm-hmm. Well,
because if a man's not a man, then he can't be. It's hard for him to be a family man.
There has to be a huge cathartic action to make that happen here in America. Something to really shock the system, to create a relativism, true relativism again.
Again.
Yeah.
Okay, let's say it again. What'd you say, Sticks? You point this.
He just broke the rule twice.
What?
You told me never use three syllable words on the radio.
Yeah, really.
See, we should have
a violent action, my goodness.
Yeah.
What am I gonna do with
Bernie Mac would have been a good president.
Who?
What? Bernie Mac.
Yeah, Chicago. How you doing, honey?
What you talking about?
All right. And as a history buff, and as a one of the top visionaries and people emulate, you know, Black folks have to find themselves a culture here in America, And you guys are right. They're going to be eliminated if they don't find themselves a coach right here in America. Also, you had a caller that called in and said that black folks need to forget the past. If that's the case, we have to forget what Hitler did. You can't forget what the Black Holocaust here in America. If so, you need to forget what Hitler did. So basically, the past also creates part of the present and the future if it's not corrected.
Absolutely.
I agree. Absolutely. I agree. I'm not saying that we should forget the past. What I'm saying is we should not use the past as our excuse for not being able to go forward.
Mm.
And see, right now, when I look at what's going on in the black community, the struggle of my past makes me stronger so that I can move forward. I don't use it as a crutch to lay down.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening is, I think, and Mike and I will probably get into this tomorrow, what's happening is we're using our obstacles of whatever is going on in our past, and we're making it an incubator or an ICU unit where we can't live without it.
I'm actually,
and it should be making me stronger. You know,
actually,
you can't tell me I can't
that,
have it. What'd you say?
I'm happy that you kind of mentioned about your black churches with the YouTube video I sent you. I hope you check that out. That guy is absolutely right. I've been saying that on your show for the past 2 years. But blacks don't have to find them a culture here in America, which they are on the same page and not scattered in their thinking, especially when it comes to economics. They're going to have to find one real soon, or like you guys always say, they're going to be eliminated here in the United States.
But Chicago, let me say something about this, and this is what I have to say about black churches, and I want to really get everyone to understand this. Just black churches are not supposed to be pastored by Reverend Al Sharpton mentalities, because that's nothing but title. Because anybody with the name of Reverend in front of their name and then get onto a national publication, national TV program, cable news network, and spew some of the hatred, some of the lies, and then do a segment talking about we're one nation, but we're not under God, and call yourself Reverend. You need to sit down somewhere and go get your license somewhere else, because you are all wrong. And the people of the body of Christ should have figured that out when he did it right then.
Not just them, but you have 50,000 black churches in America. They bring in $14.8 billion a year that black folks give to those churches. And like the guy said, everything is going wrong in their areas. They should be the ones that create economic base in the black area. They
but
have
out Chicago.
They're
listen,
not doing
I agree. But what I'm saying is, we need to quit because, Chicago, we keep on calling buildings churches, and they are nothing but brothels and pimps in the pulpit. And we need to separate the church from the pimp pulpit, because there's a difference.
But you know what? Either way, what he's saying, I go for. Because even if they are a pimpit instead of a pulpit, here's the deal. If you could get a conscious mind in the people of that church to redirect some of those things, like they're doing in the South. The Southern black Baptists are doing some really big economic development, okay, down in Mississippi, Alabama, et cetera. So now they're getting help from whoever they're getting. Some of the big banks, the black banks, are saying that they're putting this on. And in like you and I talked about, they could be getting it, their money and funding from a political entity just to keep them still in the pot.
And that's my problem. My problem
understood.
Is they keep on going to the same trough to get their money
understood.
So they can enslave the people and keep them brainwashed and keep them enslaved for the rest of their lives. And we've got to stand up and say, I don't want dirty money.
I don't want bloody money. Money that's the blood on the bottom of the blood of black people in America, poor people in America, not just our poor blacks. It's poor whites as well. And these people are winning, and they are fooling. They're taking more and more control. They have more control of the government. Since the last 4 years, we've seen probably about 40% more control, and that's my opinion, drawn back into D.C.
But what I'm
I agree.
I agree with you. I'm with you on that.
Mm-hmm.
But coming from the pulpit, and the pulpit's not educating you on how to become free because I want to control you, it goes back to Margaret Sanger. I'm going to let the preacher carry the message no matter who he is. I'm going to give him a title. I'm going to fix him up real well, and he's going to control the masses for me, and that's a problem for me. 8717, mm-hmm. Your mic is on.
Hello, Mike in Pennsylvania. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you, Mike?
Great, Mike.
Pretty good. Had a comment and a question for you guys considering this George Zimmerman trial. Just recently here in the last 15 minutes or so, it was there was a detective on and said Tracy Martin, Trayvon Martin's father said no, that wasn't his voice. And, you know, a month later or whatever, you know, he changed his story saying, yes, it was his voice. I think George Zimmerman is responsible for the murder. But the problem I have is the actual court and the laws itself as far as self-defense. I think this is really bad news for the prosecution. You know, if Tracy Martin is saying that wasn't his son's voice when the mother says it was his voice. Would like your guys' thoughts. I don't even know if you've seen this. It just recently happened within about the last 15 minutes.
Hey, Tracy, since we're shifting gears for a minute, I need to say goodbye. I've got to get on to my next appointment. It's about 12:30 in Colorado, and I have a lunch engagement at 1 o'clock.
Well,
so
I love you.
Thank you for the invitation to spend time on the show. It's really been a lot of fun.
We'll come back and hang out with us again, won't you?
I promise it.
All right. And I'll
all
be
right,
in
God
touch
bless
with
everybody.
You. And if you God bless you, and if you need us for anything, let us know. Mike, anybody, the Zimmerman trial, let me ask this. Well, it's going to be a hearsay, he say, she say, ongoing conversation, no matter what. And I'm not following the case maybe as I should because, you know, I hate that the young man died, and I hope justice is served fairly for what's going on. And I know it's the talking points of America across the globe, but I got young black men dying every day.
Yeah, you do, Tracy, but for a different dynamic.
What I'm saying is, Jeff, it's a different dynamic,
mm-hmm.
but they're still dead. And if we can't focus on the mass, I don't understand why we focus on the one.
Well, I'm going to tell you why you focus on the one.
True.
I'm going to tell you exactly
true.
Why you focus on the one. Because.
Hold on. What were we saying?
I was just saying true.
Who's that?
662?
Like, yeah, who's that? Is that Mississippi?
No, yeah.
Okay, hold on, Jeff. Now, why are we doing this?
The reason why you're doing is that because it goes to the thing that says this: no black man is free to walk down the street of America without being suspected. And then, if he's being suspected, somebody can follow him, not identify who they are, and then just kill him because he's in a place that he does not belong.
Okay, Jeff. Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
If Trayvon Martin would have been wearing a suit and tie, you think he'd have been followed?
I don't know and don't care. It was raining outside.
Doesn't matter.
He was coming from the store. It doesn't matter about the hoodie. It was raining.
My issue is, and I'm with you, Jeff. I understand about the people being followed and all that kind of stuff, and I got issues.
Because
I've
had it happen.
And being upset and getting shot and being, and it scares people when you can't walk down the street safely.
I understand that.
But he's not the only one.
Not the point.
Hold on. He's not the only one. Hold on. It is the point. He's not the only one. If we would take responsibility in our own minds to change the perception of how we're perceived, and instead of buying into this media-designed demography of black men, and start taking responsibility instead of playing into their fears, maybe things would change. But right now, we're not doing as we should across the board.
understood, Tracy, and what I want to say is, again, I understand how the demagoguery happens here. We have Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton getting involved early. We have the president making, if I had a son, he could have looked just like Trump. Who gives a rip about that? But the thing is it created fuel for the believers. And the thing is now the believers get in. You had the news messing up and telling stuff that shouldn't have never been done. And then you still have the dynamic. We have to do our own neighborhoods, no doubt. But the thing is our own neighborhoods are a direct result of our political activity.
But the reason why this kid is dead is because of our political activity that we don't care about the other ones that are dead.
I disagree.
Oh, absolutely.
I disagree.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of those kids that are getting killed by other black kids are in a trade or in gangs that cause them to live dangerously because they're doing
dangerous
things.
The reason why we are in this conversation and Styx is afraid of a black man walking down his street in his neighborhood is because of the imaging that we allow on the liberal media, because of how we
act,
and because of what's going on, and because we play into their fears.
I agree.
And so we've got Zimmerman down there who is a wackadoodle who probably killed the kid, should go to jail for killing the kid, and we are focusing on this thing, but nobody cares about the rest of the kids in the country that got dropped dead.
I care about both of them because don't forget that I lost a brother out there on the streets. So I resent that in that sense.
But the majority of them do not care because if we cared, we would talk about them all and not about the one.
If you were a black man, I would say I really can't see how you're getting there. You're a black woman, so I understand where you're at. But the thing is I'm a black man, and when I walk down the street, when I walked out in Boardman walking around the doggone block and the police following me, and then my wife walks around the block and they're following her as though they think she's walking the street,
that is not
freaking acceptable,
but yes, it's not about the acceptance of it. It's because we play into their perception of it. And I'm not talking about you, because when they see us, they see us in stereo.
I understand, because of the negative connotations that they create.
Hold on. They create and we allow, and instead of us standing up and saying we will not allow the negative perceptions that we have, we walk into them. We're the ones who allow our kids to walk down the street with their pants underneath their butt. And I bought the pants. I gave him the money. He walked out of my house.
Why do we do that?
I don't know.
I do.
Why?
I'll say it once again. When you got out of slavery, you started to enter the middle class at large, huge numbers. When you did that, that's when the Southern Democrats created a thing called the Ku Klux Klan. And they created, in conjunction after that, the Black Codes and Jim Crow, which stops you from owning land. They took one of my relatives' land, saying, your father didn't own any land, so you're not allowed to own any land here. Took 100 freaking acres that he drained and made into good farmland. So now, you get this is repeated thousands of times across the nation. So you get a people to get just doggone frustrated from trying to make it. And then don't forget Black Wall Street. Don't forget that.
Jeff,
uh-huh.
I'm saying right now, today, 2013.
You have.
What I'm saying is.
It's the aftermath.
No, what I'm saying is we have to start taking responsibility for what we do. And if we want to change it, then we're going to have to change our own image and not let the media portray it for us. And quit falling after Brazen and Roland Martin and Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and
agreed.
All these other crazy people, because when they use the race car, they use it in the wrong connotation.
Absolutely.
And so what we have is we got Trayvon Martin and Zimmerman,
uh-huh.
which is absolutely wrong. But you still got kids. I got followed the other day in Borman. I told you that.
I know.
Yes, it bothers me. Yes, I get upset. Yes, I get concerned. But the problem that I have is nobody cares about the other kids that are dying on the street, and we are allowing it. We don't pull our pants up. We don't cut our hair. We don't learn the King's English. We don't walk, we don't do what we should. We don't handle our business. And then we wonder why people don't trust us when we're walking down the street.
I understand it 1,000%, though. See, that's and so if you don't and other people don't, I understand that they don't. But here's my point. It goes to principles, and when you allow a principle to apply to one set of people that it doesn't apply to others, then you have these types of issues.
But again, there are more and more. Right now, we are focusing. We are focused so much on this trial.
Why?
Listen to what I'm saying. It is a distraction.
It
has become a distraction. Mm-hmm. Yes, we need to monitor and make sure that justice is prevailing. Fine. But right now, for everybody to be focused upon the Zimmerman-Trayvon Martin trial and not be focused on what's going on inside of D.C., what's being focused on inside of Main Street, what's being focused on inside of Wall Street, we are losing the boat, because by the time we get done with Trayvon,
mm-hmm.
They would have dug another grave for us to jump in.
Well, once again, like I said, I understand where you're coming from, but here's the deal. I am saying
and
this.
And it ain't going to change nothing.
Yeah, it is going to change something.
No, what's it going to change?
It's going to change awareness to some things if it's handled properly.
Okay, let's go back to this. It ain't going to be handled properly, because either another one's going to, either another one's going to bite the dust,
yeah.
Or they're going to make sure that we incite riot, because they're trying to incite it before it's even done.
There's no doubt about that, which is what I posted earlier.
What you said earlier,
yeah.
And what we're talking about. So either one of the two things are going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it has absolutely nothing that's going to be a positive outcome for what happened for this kid dying. And it's not going to stop another cop in Boardman, Poland, Canfield, Youngstown from following you down the street. I'm taking a break. I'll be right back.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer...
Jeff, can you hear us?
Hello?
Boy, he got Tracy going. You think they're married off stage here, off the radio?
No, they play their roles pretty good.
Oh, they're good. Yeah, they are good.
Well, the thing is, here in America with blacks don't have a culture. And the culture that they do have, they adopt it from someone else, which is not theirs.
Yeah.
And every ethnic group here in America has some kind of culture.
Right.
Blacks don't. So blacks are going to have to find them a culture.
Right.
We're dealing with economics, and they're on the same plane 99% of the time when it comes to economics. They can't be scattered.
Well, there was a recent study they just finished about that subject for all cultures in the United States, and economic empowerment and higher income levels and everything go to the kids whose parents told them where they came from. And you don't need to go back 20 generations. If you could just even tell your kids who your grandparents were or your great-grandparents were and tell them what their struggles were and everything. Even if you don't tell them all the stories where they won and, you know, your mother's a princess and your father's a king and you're beautiful, and even if you just tell them the truth that grandpa struggled and somebody took 100 acres of land away from him after he drained it and killed himself cleaning that land and getting ready, like Jeff was talking about, the kids see that as an identity to be proud of.
Yeah, you know, that's right.
And it also teaches them that life has ups and downs in it, too. And they grow up more balanced. They grow up less wussified, if we can use that word. You know what I'm saying? The kids just can handle disappointment better. And they've done a whole – they just completed a big, huge, long study on this. And so I agree with you that, you know, what helps held me together, coming from a broken home and everything else, was that I didn't get to meet my great-grandparents and my grandparents, and I knew a little bit of the family history. So when our family split up, it didn't hurt me as much.
That too with blacks, I mean, about the struggle here in America. But also they need another culture that will work for them.
Yeah.
Right now, because this culture that they have right now is not their culture.
No, it's
not.
And
I mean, the Indians here in America have a culture. That's why they have a strong togetherness, even if they're not family.
Right.
They can go to another Indian, and another Indian will support them and what they're doing.
Yeah.
Economically, you know, spiritually, or whatever. That's why they're good in the small business and owning stores, because they pull their nest egg together economically. They don't have to be related. Asians also. The Arabs also here in America.
Yeah.
Blacks are the only ones that do not have a culture when it comes to economic togetherness. Now, maybe in the South
blacks are because they still experience blatant racism. Mm-hmm. So they see that, and they come together when it comes to economic and social issues. But experience here in the North, they do not have that, and they have to get a culture real quick, or they will be, it looks like, they will be dwindling in numbers in the coming years.
See, the black folks that I knew growing up, and I grew up in the North, we all grew up in the project together, okay? And a matter of fact, it wasn't until I started attending an inner-city high school that I understood black-white differences and stuff, because we all grew up the same. We were all poor. We didn't see color when we were kids. They were upward mobile, even though we were in the project together and you had to be below a certain income level, but they were upwardly mobile. And I really think, personally, the quote-unquote great society did more damage to black upward mobility than it helped, because it just started this 40-year-long plus decline of the black economic power structure, because the black folks I knew were pretty self-determined, and they were moving well solid into the lower middle class, and they would have eventually achieved middle class because they were getting the factory jobs, they were getting the promotions at work, their children were getting educated, the family unit was together. So I'm as I look back over the history of things, I just think of that old story about trying to help a chicken get out of the shell. You make it weak and make it hard for it to survive on its own, you know, and I'm beginning to wonder how much of that played into it with the quote-unquote great society where they, you know, threw money at a problem, and did the money really help or did it hurt? I'm not sure. I don't have all the answers. I still would prefer that people empower themselves somehow, any way they can, and just stay away from the government and handouts and everything if you can. You know, there's times when you just can't, and we have those safety nets in our society, but the less you can take from the government, I just think the more you can resource for yourself, the better off you really are. And it doesn't matter what color you are then, and it doesn't matter, you know, what your ethnic background is or your heritage or anything else. Just the more self-reliant you become, the more you can pass on to your children. If nothing else, just the winning attitude of independence. So that's just, you know, I'm only basing that upon what I saw growing up, you know, being raised in a broken home, and my mother was an immigrant to this country, and she held 3 minimum wage jobs just to pay the rent in the project, you know, so.
Hey, guys, we're back. How you doing?
Good.
Doing pretty good.
We're convinced you and Jeff are married off the radio, the way you two are.
No, I got another one just as fiery at home.
Oh, there you go. Typical black man's got more than one woman, Tracy. There he goes. You're playing right into the stereotype.
Hey, but you know what? I don't live in government housing. Got you.
No, but all your women and children do. There.
Oh, Tracy.
Talk about the stereo.
Mississippi, will you call back in again? I've enjoyed you. You have made my show today here.
Mr. President.
Am I not on still?
You still on, but I got to pull up Florida down. I got to pull up Alex, because he's down there, and I don't know what he's talking about. He down there in Florida down with Zimmerman. I want to know if he's going to let Zimmerman stay in his house.
Shoot, I just looked at your pretty. Yeah, I just looked at your picture. You're a pretty lady.
Come get her, man.
See, I'm just throwing that in now. You know, everybody's fighting. I'm gonna throw something in there real smooth.
Oh my! Make sure you friend me on Facebook and stay in touch with me and come back and see me. I appreciate you. You're good.
Okay, so now he went from Barack Obama to Slick Willie Clinton now. I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Or you didn't inhale, one or the other.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Oh, we got some crazy ones today. I love it. I love it.
How you doing, honey?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. What's going on down in Florida?
Well, you know, the Zimmerman trial and everything, you know, and just everybody working hard, you know, trying to get by, you know. Try not to get shot in the street, you know, because because these white folks get scared of me when I walk down the street, so I'm trying not to get shot.
Yeah.
They're not scared of you because you're not busting a stag. You're still wearing Dickies.
Don't matter.
They don't even matter. But see, you know, I wanted to, the only comment I wanted to make real quick, because I was kind of taken aback by the conversation you and Jeff was having. And let me just say this. White men are never, you know, they're not profiled by general society when they are they're predominantly the pedophiles and serial killers. But they're not, you know, nobody cowers when they come by or scared, you know, to see them or follows them if they're walking through a neighborhood. Like, what are you doing? Are you about to kidnap a child or something? They're the vast majority of child kidnappers, molesters, child rapists, pedophiles, killers. They're not subjected to the same.
Can I ask you, Tracy?
Actually, Tracy, they are. They are. Here's the thing.
South Carolina. Wait a minute. Go ahead.
Bikers.
No.
Are profiled.
No.
Yes, they are.
No.
Yes, they are.
South Carolina. I disagree. I disagree completely. But I will say this: you have to realize. If you realize that we black men were never father knows best. They were never Ward Cleaver. You have to understand what they had, the imaging that they have put in our head and in our mind. Yeah, we know that they're mass killers, and we know that they're the majority of pedophiles and all that kind of crazy stuff and the wacky people. And yes, white male. Well, a white man can do all his dirt and put on a clean white shirt, and you'll question your doubts about him because of the imaging of white men that they have trained us and indoctrinated us with white males. Now, if they're a biker, it might be a little bit different, but then they're more forgiving of the biker than the black man.
That's true.
But the black man is always the thief, the thug, and the one who drives the kids off into the river.
All you have to do is look at sentencing, and you look at who gets the most sentencing for the crime they committed. And I don't care whether it's a first-timer or a tenth-timer. Blacks. Black people are totally disproportionately get more years than Caucasian people. Period.
And it's not done by it's not done purposely.
I think it is.
No, listen to what I'm saying. It's not done purposely. It's done subliminally based
consciously,
upon
consciously. You meant
consciously, okay. Uh-huh. Because it's based upon imaging of what to be afraid of. That's when Barack Obama walks up into a stage with a suit, with a $1,200 suit and a clean $700 shirt and a bad tie and can put together a cohesive sentence. Everybody goes goo goo gaga and puts you in the White House.
Yeah, but some of it's institutional because you have black men sitting in jail for several years for just possession charges, and actually most men, over 70% of black men are in for drug nonviolent. Drug charges, so they just got caught with a little something on them, and they spend several years in prison. But then white guys, they can get caught with their powdered cocaine or their crystal meth or you know whatever else that they do, and they're right back out, you know. So
again, Alex, that goes with what I was saying. What it's all about is Ward Cleaver did a tap dance, Marcus Welby.
MD.
All those imagings of Father Knows Best, all the, you know, all those guys did, they were the wholesome, couldn't do no wrong, you know, Mayberry RFD, they were the clean, wholesome cat that we could trust.
Right.
And so, in my mind, I can always trust the white man.
I can only come up with two positive black role models on TV in the last 30 years.
Who?
The guy that played Florida's husband on Good Times.
And they killed him, but go ahead.
And Bill Cosby. Were there others that I missed?
Well, the Good Times wasn't a good example because he was poor.
Family matters.
But he went to work every day. And he had a strong family.
Yeah, I guess.
Family matters and a fresh print. That's two right there. Family matters and a fresh print.
But family matters, he was more of a doofus than he was a strong father.
Well, that goes for all male images on all the sitcoms nowadays. If you look, they're always belittling the man.
True, that's
all
true.
Of them, black or white.
Since about 1980, they've been really the last strong father type was probably John Walton.
Yeah, I mean, Tim the Tool Man, and what was the other one there? Roseanne Barr's husband. She was always on him.
Buffoons.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, there's a definite bias in the media against strong male influences.
And so, and if they're going against the white man, what do you think they're doing to the black man?
Well, it's even worse.
Tell me, because if you really look at hip hop, if you look at what we actually put on the map and what we put out on and broadcast, look at how black men are portrayed and who they are. And let's not look at the recent ones. Let's look at the ones you're raised with. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at, so Alex, when you say that, you got to understand we were raised to trust the white man. He was always good. He was always right. He was always wholesome. And he was always endeared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was smarter. He was richer. He was every category that you would hang any form of social identity on. The white man in those, anything where there was a black man and a white man on screen together, the white man was the go-to guy for the black guy.
Always.
He was Superman.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was always a savior. He was always, you know, he was always coming to save everybody.
Yeah. I mean, all your famous cowboy heroes and everything else, they were all white. And the truth is, the cowboy of the legend of the Old West, most of those marshals and all were black men.
And actually, I only got a few more minutes, but when you watch the news, and maybe it's better now than it was in the past, but in the past, on your local news broadcast, if it was a white man, you didn't see his face. You didn't see his mugshot.
Uh-huh.
But if it was a black man, you always knew it was a black crime. And they made sure you saw them in the orange jumpsuit. You saw them after they had been deloused. You saw them looking crazy.
Yeah.
You never saw them, you know, when they walked in there with a suit. And this goes on for 30 years, 40 years. Uh-huh. And at one time, it was very, very intentional. They would tell you of the black crimes, but not of the white crimes.
Uh-huh.
And so, Alex, when you say that, you got to understand this generation, not yours because you're a little bit younger, but Jeff and mine and Six and those of us who are 30, about 40 and above, we have been indoctrinated to always be afraid of the black man and endeared to the white man. So we're sitting on the juries because they're mostly made up of people of our age. We go in there with a preconceived notion already if the hue is darker than a paper bag, he's dangerous. Or he has the propensity of being dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Tracy, do you remember Gail Janis, Oprah's friend?
Yes.
Okay. I grew up in Connecticut, and she was on the she was on one of the big stations there doing the news when I go back 30 years ago, okay? Help me out here because I can't tell. What shade of black is she? Because she used to get to do serious news.
She's a female. Females are different than males.
Okay. Because I'm thinking
females
about,
are different.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
Females are judged and guided differently than males. Hmm. We're palatable.
I'm thinking about blacks in the news. Most black men either did sports or weather. They were, you know, they never. I can't think of any black people I knew that did any serious news in New England.
You're not going to find any. You're not going to find a whole lot. Remember,
Fox News has one guy that does hard
news.
And he
just
started.
Now, but I'm going back 30, 40 years ago, and I'm trying to
think 40,
right, right.
We had a couple before because
we've had.
I had this discussion with Cheryl. And she told me who the hard news guys were.
But your national news, you still don't see many. So
that news, Wendell Goldberg is still there. Though. That's a good.
That's today. That's one.
Well, yeah, he's been there. Though.
Bryant Gumbel.
Yeah,
no,
Gumbel's
that didn't count. I gotta go.
He ain't gonna count. Yeah.
I gotta take a. I gotta go for the day. We'll be back here tomorrow. Tomorrow, Mike's coming on with us. Jeff will be here. I will be here, and we want you to be here with us. The number is 347-945-5229. God bless. Have a good day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited.
Charlie Savin Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Savin Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put...